The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Another big win for the Patriots moving to 6-3 on top of the AFC East now by 2 games, opening up that margin. So things are looking good for the Patriots coming out of this game, 37-31. And we'll talk about that. Plenty to talk about. Another big game by Danny Woodhead. So we'll talk about the production that he's having this year. Got to love that. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. What's so funny, Andy?
I like it.
What?
No wavering from you right out of the gates.
Hey.
And I think people need it. I'm excited.
There's too much worry about how they're winning. I don't care. This league this year, as long as you win. I mean, every team has flaws, and now we see quarterbacks going down. They're falling like snowflakes.
A crappy team is going to receive the Lombardi Trophy this year.
Well,
you're right.
a team that is the best of a crappy season.
So crappy team.
You want to base it on former years, that's a fine. I'm just going to base it on what's going on this season.
Bad football.
And be happy with it.
Bad football. I'm basing it on what I see this season.
On.
Bad football.
I think you're being just too judgmental. Paul?
What?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Paul's here.
I'm catching the end of the Harvard-UMass
game. Oh, Jesus. Low-level basketball.
They're surrounded by losers everywhere.
Yeah.
These two are planning their date at Matthews Arena to go watch UMass Northeastern.
Well, I was giving you guys 10 minutes to talk about whether or not it was a good win or a bad win. I figured I'd just let you guys go.
I just wanted to know what you felt.
I thought it was just a typical – I kind of agree with Andy. It was a typical 2012 win.
Yeah.
No one wins impressively anymore. Not consistently, anyway.
Right.
Every once in a while, you blow a team out like you did against the Rams.
Yeah.
That's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, the Patriots have the second longest winning streak in football.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, aren't you happy that they do? I mean, sure.
I would rather learn my lessons in victory than defeat.
Yeah. A win is a win. I heard it eight million times in the locker room.
And that's what Andy started with. He said, right out of the chute, you're coming out, no wavering. That's what we need.
Yeah. Well, we don't. Your people.
I mean, it's
obvious.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about. We the show, not us. Individually,
it is obvious that you know that pass defense has problems.
No, it's fine now. Tlaib's off suspension.
We don't know that, but they've got problems. There's no doubt about that, and it hasn't gotten better. It hasn't gotten better.
Nope.
And I think part of that is there's so much, you know, from week to week, mix up in personnel back there. You know, Chung is still out and. So who's going to be the starter?
Do you think that's part of the problem in the secondary?
I think it has contributed over the course of the season.
I knew you didn't want me contributing, Andy.
It definitely has contributed over the course of the season. However,
I thought
that with Tlaib sort of sitting there on the sideline waiting to come in, guys would step up their game this week just to if there was any chance that I might be the odd man out. I'm going to play well this week just to make sure that I cement. you know, where I stand with the secondary. And it was kind of the opposite.
Well, I actually thought the guy we've all liked, Dennard, had his worst game.
Yeah.
So it was the one guy we kind of had hope for building took a step back this week. So they got Gregory back, so theoretically they should have taken a little jump there. And Bill seemed kind of pleased with it, you know, talking about they weren't huge plays, and they allowed four plays of 20 or more yards, adding to their total. But as I kind of joked about, I thought the bigger problem was the run defense. Because if the run defense is going to take a step back,
yeah,
now we're just screwed.
Well, that's the thing. It's one game.
Right.
And they did not seal the edge. For some reason, they were just missing tackles left and right. So,
well,
let's
his name was C.J. Spiller was part of the reason.
Yeah.
He made guys look foolish.
But give him credit. I mean,
oh,
he's good. He's good.
He's tremendous.
You know,
he averaged 7 yards a carry coming in, and he averaged 7 yards a carry against you. He did what he do.
So he,
I thought Jackson, I agree with you guys on Spiller. There's no shame there. I thought he made some broken field runs. I thought he made some guys miss. Jackson's runs were more troubling to me because there was nothing fancy about those. Those were just between the tackles, and they hit him.
And he's good, too.
okay. So as long as we don't have to play anybody who's good.
But
Ray Rice, when he ran for 100 yards,
I would have liked
stay away from the good guys.
I would have liked.
Okay.
I would have liked to have seen somewhere in the middle instead of what happened. You know that they have some good runs. Patriots stop them on some.
Yeah,
you know, which is more what should happen. You know, with a good run defense playing. You know, with elite runners.
8 plays of 10 yards or more they allowed.
Yeah, no,
they had allowed 13 all season coming
running.
Right.
Right.
Right. So I would have seen. I'd like to cut that in half.
They played other good running backs, didn't they? Or no.
Yeah, and they've done well. That's why I'm not too worried about, you know, that this could be a one-game anomaly. And you know,
could be. Although they had a stretch last year where they sucked against the run.
Yeah,
it was like Denver, Washington,
down the stretch. Absolutely.
Whatever, you know, there was a stretch there, and with how bad they are in pass defense, they can't afford that. They need to be able to hang their hat on. You're not going to run
on
us.
And you wonder if they're getting a little bit worn down because a lot of those guys have played a lot of football.
They've been rotating a lot lately. The last, 3 weeks, they've been getting Francis and they've been getting Dedrick in there, getting Cunningham in there, getting Will Fork out. Seems like they've been trying to manage that.
Yep.
You know, the times when they take Chandler Jones out and you're like, where's Chandler Jones? You know, well, they've started to try to do that because he is a rookie who's playing virtually every down. So I think they've been cognizant of that, trying not to get worn down up front. But it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, because you wouldn't expect, you know, like a guy like Hightower, I thought, struggled badly on Sunday. And he missed some time. So you wouldn't figure he would be one of the guys that's getting worn down.
Right.
But... you know, I don't know. I kind of thought about that a little bit. That front seven has played a lot of snaps, and they've played very effectively, very physically. Those linebackers have been a big part of the run defense with Vince and Love and inside. So I do wonder if maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, and if, you know, these little snippets that you see on TV from the sideline, you can't really make definitive judgments at it. But if you saw the look on Patricia's face after they finally won – and Bill went over to congratulate him, the look on Patricia's face was like, you know, we escaped. It wasn't, there was no smile. It was kind of a roll of the eyes, like.
Well, even the,
you know,
the
kind of hard to see what he's doing, though, under that beard.
Even the, you know,
the
play, you know, and we've talked a lot about, you know, some of the turnovers that, you know, they've made plays when they've had to. But even this particular play wasn't even a play. It was a miscommunication between quarterback and receiver, and McCourty was standing still, and he said it. I was just standing there, and he threw the ball right to me.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, some of the other ones, like in Buffalo, where you come up with a big play at the goal line. Yeah, you were fortunate to force a fumble, but you forced a fumble. This was just, you know, like Matt Patricia. I can understand Matt Patricia just sitting there saying, it's not even like we dialed up some special coverage that confused them. There was no confusion. There was no nothing. They had what they wanted, and a kid ran the wrong route and then said, maybe that's why I don't play more.
There was
which I thought was one of the funniest quotes ever.
My knee-jerk reaction to his expression was, thank goodness we got out of here, but we got problems. That was the expression that I got. Now
I thought Bill was even more throughout the game. I noticed that on his face.
Exasperated.
I thought, just like reaching that point where that I don't have an answer. You know, just frustration of every third down, every, you know, that chunk that Paul pointed out where they went 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, consecutive.
There was a drive that the Bills had five consecutive first downs, and it ended with a touchdown. Then there was another drive.
Well,
they had four straight plays that resulted in first downs.
When you allow 20 big plays. I mean, 12 big plays in a game. 8 runs of 10 yards or more. That's 12 out of, you're talking about 1 out of every 5-plus plays is going to be a chunk play. And
that's
it's
not
hard
even
to play that way.
And that's not even counting passes of like 15, 17, which they
right.
gave up a.
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of those.
Too.
They were knocking
down
on the door.
Down the middle was wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
I was
know gonna
going to ask Bill about
there.
That after the game, but it just seemed like he. He wanted to get out of there, so I just said, okay. I'm going to play the
dutiful
employee.
I thought he did a fine
employee.
Job. You know, I got my quote.
And we're talking
because you asked him the only positive thing that happened.
You know, we're talking
but
about.
But he actually agreed. He rarely does. He goes, you know, I'm sure there was some guy. But he gave me a nice quote on Cunningham.
We're talking about, you know, what happens when Tlaib comes. Does McCourty stay at safety, and who's the other safety? Well, McCourty and Gregory did not look too good back there.
Nope.
So, I mean, does Gregory sit for Chung or, you know, if McCourty stays
well,
in safety?
Well, if Chung's healthy.
Yeah.
That's the other if in here.
Right.
We're not even, I think we all assumed coming out of the bye that you'd have Chung and Gregory back. You didn't have Chung. So what's his status? And we know from last year, we always think he's going to play, and then it takes 8 weeks. And
then he gets to the third quarter and hurts his shoulder again, you know? So
a little tone there.
Well, no.
That doesn't really fall in line with how you started the show.
Seven games left.
He also
Free
goes
agent,
out during Andy. Game. You know, he has these type of injuries that not only, like, afterwards you learn that he's out for the game. You know,
but
he gets
you do
knocked
have,
out of games.
You do have Tavon Wilson. If you brought back Gregory and Chung, you have Wilson who could fill in the third quarter if
sure.
he hurts his shoulder.
Sure.
But I still want to see McCourty and Tlaib at corner.
I do, too.
That's just what
especially
I want.
Especially after my boy this week.
Well, I kind of agree. I
took
like
a little
see,
bit of a step back. I thought, Dennis.
You know, I'd like to see if Tlaib can help McCourty become a better safety in that taking a little pressure off from whatever. You know, if Tlaib is taking the number two guy and McCourty is getting double team help on their number one guy, you know, that should help McCourty, I would think, right? I don't know.
Should. I don't know. We've gone 2-plus years with nothing really working or fixing anything, so it's hard to believe at this point it's coming.
Offensively, you know, no Hernandez, but I think Ridley had a fine game.
I thought he had what I would deem a good game for a guy who's developing into a good running back.
Yeah.
I didn't think he had a great day, but when you look at it, you end with 98 yards and you're over 4 yards a carry. That's a good day in the NFL. However you got there, your chunk plays, you're not – I didn't think it came easy, but I think it's great to – you know, I think Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis would love to have a bad day that
right.
resulted in 98 99. Yards.
Right.
I think that was the poster child for the game that Andy and I talk about all the time. You don't have to run the ball a lot. When you run, you're going to get some opportunities. And he had 20 carries for 59 yards, and then he had 2 carries for another, you know, the 40. And that's what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis couldn't do. He had a 24-yard run and like an 18-yard run or something like that. Numbers might not be exactly right, but he had 2 15-plus yard runs that make the numbers at the end of the day look good. Those are big plays. That's an element of the offense that was lacking last year because the same amount of runs would have netted about 60 yards last year. And instead, Ridley got up around 100. So that's, I think, the big play element that you can get. But you got nothing from Vereen. You got a great draw, the one carry that Woodhead had. They popped it wide open, untouched into the end zone. Probably the best running play they had all day. So it was able to give you a little help. But offensively, I think they found their stride a little bit with sort of just spreading it out a little bit and whipping it around. And I thought you saw the sign of that with Deion Branch out there at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to him about it after the game, and I think he was kind of as surprised as anybody about it, and then went right into his, you know, we're a game plan team and, you know, we could change from week to week. But I think that, yeah, he wasn't really a big part of the offense the last few weeks, and I think they're sort of moving back toward that. Let's spread them out a little bit. Let's let Tom make the choices and throw the ball. Let's get some points on the board. 24 points in the first half, you know, without really running. I think Ridley had 22 yards rushing at the half. They had 24 points on the board. That's how this team needs to score, in my opinion.
You know, a lot of people on Welker for a couple drops. You know,
one
would have been a sure touchdown. The other would have been extended that drive that was started on the 1 yard line. So they were big plays. But I also think he helped the team with some key catches as well. So
yeah, but it was not Welker-esque.
No.
You know, it was more Lloyd-esque
right,
is what
now,
I said.
Now,
you know, 6 for 11 is not the same as, you know,
well,
6 catches
especially
on
when,
6 attempts.
Right. You know, that broken play on the last drive where he cuts it all the way back across the field in the screen for 23 yards. You take that, you know, if he gets 5 yards on that play, which is probably what he should have gotten because they had that play completely snuffed out, it's very much Brandon Lloyd-like.
Health-wise.
Well, that's the question with him. Like, I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt because, as I said to you, on the two drops, he looked as unathletic as you could possibly look on a football field. The first one, he didn't know what to do with his hands, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the sun or something was a factor.
Did mention
the second one was...
just like fell all over himself.
What I would envision you doing if they told you to go over the middle.
Mr. Athlete over here.
I beat him in three sports.
Don't forget it.
And so you're thinking, well, maybe he's hurt, and that's and then he has a play like that where he looks pretty healthy on that. Now, there was a report that he got x-rays on his ankle after the game. I think that was Mike Giardi tweeted it. But I don't know what to think, whether he's healthy or not healthy.
Right, and could that ankle have affected him, especially on that second drop?
Yeah, where he like tripped over the middle of the field.
Well, that's what we were wondering. Yeah. Maybe if he, he tried to make his cut up the field and the ankle gave way on him.
Right.
He did talk for a long time to the media in the locker room after the game before he went out and did
with his new Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
Movember or whatever they call it.
Yeah, he was.
I saw Castle has it too.
He talked for a while. I noticed Castle's the same.
They're boys.
Our PFW and Progress alums have the same.
Skinny little bench warmers is going to be again
Gronkowski
soon.
Gronkowski had three catches and I think just three targets. Three for three.
He definitely had three catches.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Four targets.
Four. Three for four.
And one of them was another tough touchdown catch that Brady forces him into.
Right. Was it because of just protection support or just double coverage? Why not more production out of that spot?
That's a good question. My guess would be protection, especially when you lose your two guards during the course of the game. Maybe you're trying to funnel a little bit more, give a little bit more help outside because maybe you're asking your tackles to do a little bit more. But that would be strictly an anecdotal guess. I didn't go back and break down every play.
Shoot Eric an email for Watch It Again Wednesday or whatever he does.
Well, he's already done his after further review.
Did he touch on it?
I don't know.
The fact that there were only six referees in the game that decided, because one of the referees got injured, remember?
No, wasn't it? Because they never really announced why he was out.
I just don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. I assume he was physically unable
or
to go.
Could be sick or
could have indigestion.
Indigestion, right. You know, so they announced that they were down a ref, but I always thought that they had a reserve on hand just in case for that reason. No?
No. Because you see that a lot. Guys go to the bench and they play without them. Getting taped or something, a guy twists a knee.
Yeah,
they don't. And they certainly don't have enough to go around because all the observers that are observing aren't observing.
Yeah, that's a big thing we'll talk about later. You're on that.
I am, because it continues. It started with
I said we talk about it later.
Oh, sorry.
I'm only kidding.
Well, it started with the replacement refs where I thought a lot of the mistakes were the full-time observers not helping them out.
Right.
And again, you have a review that didn't get reviewed, and you have a clock that didn't get observed.
Yeah.
And I asked you, I don't even know who these guys are, these observers.
A lot of them are old coots.
I assume they're old coots who have these cushy little work 8 home games a year kind of job, and maybe it's time to actually put somebody with some eyeglasses and some awareness there, because they are the embarrassment, in my opinion. The observers.
Now, what are the specific plays we're talking about? Because you know me, I love
the measurement
to get involved
where the clock never stopped. And
a minute 17. Yeah.
There's nobody in the stadium who
I told
goes,
you about that.
Hey, isn't that? And once they run the next play, by rule, they can't go back and fix anything. But shouldn't a guy in a minute and a half have noticed? Well, that's not stopping. It's very easy. And then buzz them, call, do whatever you need to do to fix that. And then the other was the replay review of the Trindon Holiday touchdown.
They didn't review
they
that?
They didn't review it.
Wow.
So that's again. That's
they,
not somebody on the field.
Did they give you a definitive look to see if he? If
I didn't
let
see it,
go,
but what I read was it was definitive. It would not have been a touchdown. It would have been a touchback.
Oh, okay.
That it was indeed. But again, these are not the guys on the field that are making these mistakes. They make their mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But these are mistakes that should be very easily fixed by these, I'm guessing, well-paid NFL observers. With they're probably getting hot dogs and cookies in the back.
That's just a guess.
I
don't know if they're
well-paid.
I don't know.
I bet you they are.
I was a little surprised they didn't review the play in the last drive for the Bills, the pass to Donald Jones. That was a deep out that was a little overthrown. He leaped and made a catch in the air and came down and didn't complete the catch. I was a little surprised they didn't look at that. And the Bills couldn't go for a challenge because it's the last 2 minutes. I think that's a play that should be reviewed. And
he's
I think
getting
that,
a cookie.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if he was watching. And then that ended up costing the Bills a timeout, too, because Jones got hurt on that. Which I think is that's not a referee mistake, but I think that's a flaw in the rules. I think when the clock is stopped and someone gets hurt, you shouldn't get charged with a timeout. It was an incomplete pass.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what benefit do you have of faking an injury on an incomplete pass when the clock is stopped?
Well, it does give you a little extra time on the sideline to regroup.
But you don't need it. That's what I'm saying. The clock is stopped. You don't need extra time.
But the play clock doesn't stop. As soon as they place the ball, the play clock starts.
But you need 40 seconds to run a play. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You have more problems than trying to win a game if you need
if you need more than 40 seconds
between
to call
plays.
A play. I mean, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I don't even know why the tight end needs to get covered on the line of scrimmage, but that's another thing.
I love when he has these random.
What are you talking about?
No, there was another game where.
Oh yeah, he doesn't know why there needs to be seven guys on the line of scrimmage.
Why is that such a big deal for the NFL to make sure that last tackle has to be covered?
It's the rule.
I know, but why? I know it's the rule.
I don't know why. To three strikes, you're out in baseball. Because it's the frickin' rule.
Why is a touchdown 6 points?
It's the rule.
But why is it so important to make sure that?
Because I don't think they want this, high flying Canadian Football League arena football game. They have certain rules about limiting people in the backfield.
Was it a safety thing at one point where you had
guys? I don't know.
Okay, so you don't know.
Well, I also don't know why any rule is the rule. I don't.
I don't know that anymore. Why you can't hold a guy? I mean, it's just a rule. I don't know why.
I can understand you can't hold a guy because it impedes.
No,
him,
but
you know.
there's a million rules that don't have an obvious answer. They're the rule.
I'd just like to know the answer to this one.
Call somebody at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And ask them.
All right. Brady had a great game.
Why do you have to get 10 yards
playing,
for the first
one?
Right. 12 seems much more obvious. It's on a clock.
I thought Brady was sharp throughout until the end.
Until the touchdown that he bounced.
That throw to
what do you guys think about
Woodhead,
that?
It's almost like he saw him there, and it's like one of those, in his arms.
Well, some people think he threw it away.
A lot of people think he threw it away. I don't.
And I think he made a bad throw.
Now, they also, not that this had anything to do with Brady's throw. But they're also evidently Woodhead went out of bounds, so it would not have been a touchdown. It would have been called back.
Oh, before the play?
Yeah.
Oh.
Had he been the first to touch it, I guess that got mentioned on the broadcast.
Did they throw the beanbag when he did?
I don't know. I haven't seen the play again.
It's usually a hat.
I thought live that Brady was throwing on the move and just kind of held it too long and kind of got the point of the ball down and threw it into the ground. If he threw it away, it was a poor decision to throw it away. Because I think two reasons why. Number one, I think he was open enough that he didn't have to be extra safe with the football. And number two, I don't think the difference between 3 points there and no points was as big of the whole risk reward thing. I think the reward of 7 was far greater than a pick. So you let him pick and they're 80 and they can kick a field goal to tie you. Yeah, that's bad. I'd rather be up 6 than 3. But I think the 7 was far greater reward for trying to force one into coverage. The way your defense played, you had just as almost equal chance of losing the game up 6 as you did up 3. I think you needed a touchdown there. So if he threw it away on purpose, which I don't think he did.
I don't either.
I don't think that was a sound choice. That was one you try to stick in there because I think that it was worth it taking a gamble there.
Early in the game, the Bills were just plagued with penalties, over 100 yards in the first half. The one call, the pass interference
horrific.
On the ball that went over the end line.
Horrific.
That was ridiculous. That was
Fred, just so to let everybody know, Fred openly giggled on that call, which was, I think, unprecedented that you were like, it was such a bad call that Fred giggled.
Yeah, that was a bad call. The other pass interference, you had to call it, even though it wasn't where the ball was.
I didn't think that was pass interference at all. The first one on Gronkowski.
The one where he's held?
Yeah, I didn't think that was pass interference at all.
The ball's in the air and he's being held. That's pass interference.
I didn't see it that way.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't see the last one in the end zone. I didn't see his interference either. The throw went out of the end zone. Everybody was saying it was uncatchable. I don't think it was interference.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was. I think it was arguable. It was not arguable that it was catchable. It was arguable that it was interference. I thought they just got their feet tangled, and Lloyd looked unathletic and fell down.
That's what I felt.
This crew was the one that I think botched up the Pittsburgh game last week in the first half. And,
same guy, Bill Levy.
Yeah, and you wonder if that was on their minds and they went overboard with being calling too many things.
I don't think so. I mean, there were bad calls. That was egregious. I mean, there was a holding call that I thought was horrific. That was, one of those, you could call it on any play type calls. I thought they were just, for some reason, flag happy.
The other story that came out of the game, sort of not a big deal, but Fitzpatrick called Spikes a punk after the game for, you know, just the trash talking. And I guess he flexed his muscle, although we don't know who he flexed that muscle to. It was shown on TV.
The Bills certainly think that he was mocking Fred Jackson for being hurt.
You know, and then the hit on Fitzpatrick, it was helmet to helmet. Let's face it. By the letter of the law, even though he didn't launch his helmet into him or hit him with the crown of his helmet, his face mask met Fitzpatrick's face mask in... That's helmet to helmet, by the way they call things these days.
So, no. That's helmet to helmet.
I don't think you need that phrase on the end. I don't think that's one of those picky, they're trying to go with player safety penalties. I think he hit him right in the face and knocked his helmet right off his head.
Well, he did, but I don't think he used his helmet as a weapon at all.
You are.
I don't know.
It's helmet to helmet. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's illegal.
I'm not
when helmets to helmet.
About the call. I'm just saying.
No, I know, but I think you're making it out to be like that's the day and age of football now.
It wasn't a Brandon Merriweather stupid play. You know,
I think it was. I think he had every opportunity to not hit him in the helmet, and then it's a great play. It's a big hit, but instead, it's a penalty, and you get a reputation as an a-hole.
I can see a lot of these happen like that. And so you get caught in between going with your arms up to to try to block it, and then getting there. And so now you're straight up instead of having the time to lower your shoulder into the guy. And, you know, so you're at the same level. So it's really hard, you know.
I am a big believer that defenses get effed and it's not easy to play defense. I don't really think that was an example.
Yeah, I think you hit him with your shoulder, not your head. Your head doesn't need to be the first thing that hits
the
other
guy. But if you do lower your shoulder, you rule out being able to block the pass with your hands.
Well, I don't think that your head has to be the first thing to hit somebody. If you have your hands over your head, I don't know why your head.
You can go to a side.
Has to be the first. Your head can
go
to the side.
Theoretically, if you're trying to block a pass, wouldn't you want to be on his right side anyway, not his center?
Right, and it's a technique thing that they need to learn.
Now I'll get to one of the things that you're talking about with the sort of the picky way they call some of those roughing the passers nowadays. I think you have to sort of rethink when you're going at the quarterback, having your arms over your head like that, because you very easily can get a cheap hitting the guy in the head.
Yeah.
Well,
you're
not really even making egregious contact, but they call almost everything on those now.
Yep.
You know, if you just brush a guy's
helmet,
that's when I say today, those are ridiculous.
Mike Vrabel would have eliminated a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
And then finally, my final observation.
I think Brandon Spikes is a punk. I mean, I just think he's our punk. I think he's a punk that a lot of teams wouldn't mind having on their team.
Right.
But he's that guy.
He's our Danny Ainge.
He pisses you off when he's on the other team.
Right.
He plays with an edge.
Sure.
He plays with, he likes to celebrate. He likes to talk. He has the visor, the whole shtick. I think he's a punk. But I don't necessarily think he's like this, terrible human being, dirty. He's a punk. And I think a lot of teams have him, and a lot of coaches like him.
Right.
You know, Courtland Finnegan,
I think is way worse than
Brandon Spikes. And
Jeff
Fisher said,
too.
I want Courtland Finnegan on my team. There is a value in Courtland Finnegan and how he plays on my team.
Yep. Finally, about the refs, I wonder how the current refs feel about Mike Pereira. Because while he was the head of officiating and, it was the company line and defend these guys to all ends. But now that he's not, he just calls them out every week. And I wonder how they feel about him.
Yeah,
he's kind of like you with Patriot players.
I was talking to Felger and Mass last week about their – because they talk to Pereira every Monday. And I happened to catch it last week because we were working last Monday and I heard them talk. And I commented and they said I said it's interesting because he used to just every single week it was like you'd look at these penalties and you'd be like, oh my God, what a horrible penalty. Can't wait to see how Pereira spins this one.
Well, he was Baghdad Bob.
And he would every time. And Mike Felger said, when he first started in that role, he did it kind of the way he does it now, and they clearly got to him.
Oh really?
Because there was a complete 180. Like it would be like once in a while he'd say, that was this, and this was maybe questionable here, or like the interference. That ball was out of bounds. And then all of a sudden, that same play, he'd be like, listen, we've seen these guys in the NFL make these unbelievable catches. And, you don't ever want to say something's uncatchable, And he thinks that they got to him.
Well, did you see the release that the NFL Network has brought it back? I believe it starts this week or next week, under further review or whatever.
With him?
Carl something? No. No, he works for Fox.
Yeah.
The him of now, the VP
oh,
of
really?
Carl. Is it Carl?
Carl
something?
Anderson?
No, it's Ray Anderson. Is there a Carl Anderson?
I don't know.
Whoever the VP is now, the new Mike Pereira is now going to do an NFL Network on their Sunday. I mean, their nightly show. Same thing, explaining calls. See how that works out. I wonder if they've been if they've spent the half a season training him.
Well, they should also
want to say.
But like you said, they should also, under further review, look at these observers and what they're not, what they are and are not calling. You know, because like I think last week that under the hood with the Roethlisberger play was just ridiculous. There's no way that was not a forward pass. I'm sorry, there's no way.
But once you give it back to the guy, okay, that's not the way it works. But I'm just talking about these guys not doing the easiest part of their job. Hey, that clock's still running. Call down to something, you know, that's wrong.
Right.
Fix that. That's easy. There's no judgment there. There's You're not stepping on any toes.
I will say that the NFL came out and said that was a mistake. No doubt about it.
Right.
We screwed up.
But I want you to catch it before it becomes an issue.
But
does that seem hard to you?
For
a guy in the stadium whose job is to make sure everything's on the up and up?
It should be one of the things he's specifically looking for. Yeah.
You know, the down.
Yeah.
Make sure the down is always right. Make sure the time is always right. Make sure, you know, simple
Carl Johnson.
Stuff. Carl Johnson might be it. Yeah. Not Lewis. Carl Lewis.
Ace ticket line Sprinter. Is 508-298-0398. Let's go to Tyler, who's been holding on. He's in California. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
You know, I'm happy about the win, but, you know, my question is, why is Matt Patricia still have a job? You know, I know it's Bill's defense, but he was the defensive coordinator last year, and the defense was just terrible last year, and this year we still got a job.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. On this team, you know, and I don't want to get into the whole architect versus coordinator versus I think that Patricia's role is more a game day role in terms of being coordinator. I think when it comes to coming up with the game plan, it's still Bill Belichick. You know?
I don't think there's any question.
And obviously, Patricia has nothing to do with picking the players. And isn't really that the problem?
He doesn't
have personnel.
The only thing he gets to do is he looks on his little play sheet and it says it's third and long at the 40 for the other team. There's three choices. I can pick one of them. Bill has handpicked the calls he can make in that given situation.
I really think that if Patricia was in charge of the total defense, he would be fired. And I think the fact that he isn't tells us that he's not.
Plus, he wasn't technically the coordinator last year. Even though I know he made the game day calls, he didn't even have the title
last year. It's not his defense, and it's not his personnel.
And it's all Bill. I mean, you watch on the sideline how much time it's Josh's offense. Now, there's still a degree of it's Bill's offense dating back, but there's more control for Josh in the offense. Bill is over with the defensive line when they come out. I mean, Bill is play-to-play, series-to-series coaching that defense.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you know, we saw what happened in Philadelphia. You know how their a defensive coordinator got fired, and I don't think that he's done as bad a job as
But again,
and the defense has been worse since they fired that guy.
So it all comes down to what was that guy responsible
Andy
for?
Andy Reid's an offensive play caller.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's firing his coordinator. Now, there was a lot going on there because of, A, they're a more talented defense in terms of investments, money that they've done on defense, and they were underperforming more than this team is because, I mean, we don't really know what half these players are. They thought they knew, a lot of their veteran players, who they were. Man, then you add in the wrinkle that the guy was an offensive line coach who they moved to defensive coordinator for a year and a half and then fired.
It really comes down to, Tyler, you know, it's less about what they're doing on game day and really who these players are that they picked.
But it's Bill. I think the first part was the right part. It's all Bill.
In some ways, it's a
thankless job to be a coordinator for him because it's all him. Now, it's not thankless in that a bunch of the guys moved on to success, to get head coaching gigs. But it's Bill's defense. He's the defensive genius, except when it's not working, fire the guy with the beard. Well, wait a minute now. why is it my fault now?
Right.
And that's sort of been the way it's been in all different aspects. You know, it's Bill's gets the credit when everything goes well and doesn't seem to get the same share of the blame when things don't.
Bill never misses on a first-round pick, but, you know, Nick Caserio needs to step up more in the second round and advise him that that's a bad pick. Well, wait a minute. Then how come Nick Caserio never misses on first-round picks?
Now, the one thing I would say,
I think Bill gets plenty of criticism when it comes to the draft.
No, but you
know,
I also think,
but here, Fred, we know with us, with our listeners, a lot of our regulars call in, and they write in and they talk about it. But I don't think, by and large, there are a lot of dissenters when it comes to Bill Belichick about anything. There are some.
Well, there shouldn't be. I mean, the guy. No, I mean, let's face it. The guy has done what no other coach has been able to do in the last 12 years. So, I mean, you know, it's
since week 3, 2001.
You know, so, I mean, he does deserve, you know, the benefit of the doubt.
No, but
cases.
My point was, you know, in the post-Pioli era, there were, you know, are there enough people questioning him? You know, Pioli had a relationship where he could butt heads with him, just Casario right. butt head. You know, it's always, they're always looking for something, but they don't look to that when they're praising.
Look, I give Bill full, you know, responsibility for the guys that they drafted and that and chose in free agency or trade for that defensive secondary.
Well, I give Bill full everything, you coaching know? And drafting. Coaching-wise, if it's good, it's Bill. If it's bad, it's
right.
Bill. Because, A, I think it's his schemes,
right.
he's the arc. But, B, he chose to only promote from within and mold these perfect assistant coaches out of young bodies. That's his decision.
That's what I wanted to get to.
To me, it's not the coaching, it's the players.
Well, you don't know that.
I don't.
I mean, Darius Butler making plays now.
It's one example.
No,
it's the only example. And it took like 2.5 years.
Right, but I do want to get into that, though, because that's the one part. I agree with everything you say, Fred, that this is all Belichick. It's his system. It's not Patricia's. But can't he still be a good or bad coach, Matt Patricia? I mean, I'm not saying that he's a bad coach. I'm saying, can't he still be good or bad at what he is doing
yes,
out there?
Yes, he can. But
so to just say that it's not his system and absolve him of any responsibility, to me, is not right.
Well, okay, that's
it's
fair.
Not as good now as it was even when Dean Pease was here. And we didn't think it was as good with Dean Pease as it was when Eric Mangini was here.
But
we didn't think it was as good when he was there as when Romeo was there.
You know, but it's continuing to get worse in – you just don't see it from the players. The ability to it's like we've heard so often they're right there. They just can't make the play. Well, then that tells me if the guy was a little bit better,
I'll tell you
he would have made
else.
The play.
You know, for all of you turn your head guys, I would suggest taking a look at this game and see how often Patriots defensive backs turn their head, only to turn back around and not find a receiver anywhere near them because they got caught peeking a lot in this game.
Okay.
So this is a turn-your-head game, for those of you that think that's the magic elixir for everything that ails the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good debate, and it's a worthy discussion because, look, the defense has had trouble defending the pass, and it's not like they haven't brought in players and mixed it up and tried draft, free agency. It's not happening. It's not happening.
Taking the next step after the Chiefs lost yet again and – Romeo Crennel has fired himself as defensive coordinator and will probably be available in a few weeks as Marty Schottenheimer advises them to clean house. Do you want him back and will he make a difference?
I like the idea of having him back because it's just the communications, you know, that he would have with the players. But, you know, if his role is no more than Patricia, no more or less than Patricia, I mean, really?
But no more or less than it was the first time.
Do you think it was more or less than Patricia when he was the defensive coordinator?
Probably the same.
I think it was significantly more, and I would absolutely bring him back now if he was
available. Definitely more. Definitely more.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
No doubt.
You don't think then it was Bill's defense?
No, I do.
But you're fixated on whose scheme it was. I think Romeo did a hell of a lot more.
Like just sideline talk, you know, post-series sideline talk. Romeo did a lot more than Patricia does. Bill did less with Romeo than he does with Patricia.
Okay, I don't know that. I don't know.
Well, I do.
And you know that for a fact?
Yes.
Or is it just
observationally? No, I mean it's a fact observationally.
Observational and sort of anecdotally. I mean, remember all the times they would say how, like Teddy Bruschi would say, you know, Bill would implement the game plan on Wednesday. And a lot of times he was doing this wild stuff and we'd sort of be sitting there, you know, Seymour and Rodney and Ty, and we'd look at each other and say, well, and then Romeo would come in and say, guys, here's what we need to do. And they would talk about it. They'd have these meetings with just Romeo. I don't know if they're doing that with Matt Patricia.
Okay, fair. I mean, but you don't know that, though.
I don't think they are.
Well, no, I'm basing
mine on sideline.
Certainly
on the sideline when Andy's, that's just an eyeball. You can see it.
Right. You can see how much time Bill spends with the defense and allows Matt Patricia to spend with the defense and how much he spent with Romeo and how much he let Romeo spend. Romeo had more of an you know, I always thought he was the great translator. I thought he found a way to get from Bill's quote-unquote genius to on-field participation.
That's what I liked about him, you know. All right, lunch is here. Let's take a break so we can nourish, and we'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is... Who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No, no, no.
Take offense at it.
Did you listen?
You
to-
I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. I'm talking about the Bills game. We haven't moved on yet to the Colts, but we will. We'll be here tomorrow and Thursday. A lot of emails coming in, so I should probably get to those after I burp. Let's get to Nick writes in. He says, hey, Tom, look out. Oh, wait, there's no one there. The Phantom strikes again. 4.5 sacks, 10 hurries, and on pace for a career year. What? I don't know what that means. That's terrible. Brendan in England says, what are your views on Deion Branch? He seems to be Brady's number one option in a lot of passing plays, despite the fact the team was ready to cut him this offseason.
No. Did cut him.
when Hernandez returns, I'm assuming Branch's playing time will drop significantly. But can you explain to me why guys like Gronkowski, who only had 3 catches on Sunday, doesn't see more targets ahead of Branch? Also, I'd like to apologize to Danny Woodhead. I have slated him, I don't know what that means, a lot this season, mainly after the Baltimore game, but he's come up and made big plays and is once again looking good as a third down back. Now, Danny Woodhead's great.
He slighted him, you know.
Only the player on the team that has a touchdown both running and receiving, 2 for each.
So, okay.
Contributing in all different ways.
Wait, so that makes him good? I mean, that fact makes him good.
It's just a fun fact, Paul.
Oh, wouldn't that be true of all third down backs and change of
yeah, I thought you said that.
Kind of the role.
He's good. You know, he's the only guy that has touchdown running and receiving.
Well, he is good.
But that's how you said it.
He's the only one that has a running and receiving touchdown.
But isn't that likely the case on most teams with their change of pace, third down type back?
Unless they're bad.
Like Danny Woodhead.
No.
Did he have that last year?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Why don't you check?
Why don't you find out?
Why don't you check? And he wasn't the only one last year because Gronk had one.
Right. And so did Hernandez, didn't he?
Did
he have one for both?
I don't think so.
No.
I do think Branch's contributions will go down immediately when Hernandez returns. I think he's filling in for Hernandez. I think they decided the Humanawanuis and Fells, and obviously Shanko wasn't ready, that he was the best option. But he's not the number one option on any play. I mean, I don't think Brady. I believe Brady when he says he goes to the line, he looks at the defense and figures out on this play which receiver theoretically has a decent matchup. And therefore, they're not just going to force it to Gronk. You know, the only time I've seen them force it in the 2 years that you could argue, you know, is Moss. You could argue they forced it him at times. And I think you could argue they forced it to Lloyd early this year to get him. Just, I think they ran plays just saying, we're going to get Lloyd involved. Yep. We're going to try to get Lloyd the ball here.
Yep. Lloyd had another, you know, he had a few catches. Another one where I don't understand why he went to his knees before the ball even got there. He was, like, on his knees. No one was around him. I don't understand.
Get off your knees.
Clint writes in. He says about Brady throwing it away at the end. He said, Brady said on Dennis O'Callaghan that the ball slipped out of his hand, wasn't throwing it away, but the ref did throw his hat to signal that Woodhead was out of bounds. So I guess if that's what
so for once we got one right.
Yeah.
That's the way we saw it.
That's what the quarterback says, and that's what happened.
But I agree with that. I mean, I'm going to take his word for it over someone else. It would be much, much more flattering for him to say, I threw it away, than to say it slipped out of my hands, and I didn't mean to do that.
I'm not sure it would be a good idea for him to say, I threw it away. There. For the guy who can't finish games anymore and who doesn't have it anymore and who hears the rush. Oh, now all of a sudden he's not even willing to try to zip it into a tight space. We've lost our quarterback.
Dan of Virginia, is there any truth to the rumor that Robert Kraft has bought a cardiologist clinic and is using the Patriots' performance to drum up business? Or that Bill
That's
Belichick has signed a sponsorship deal with Bayer Aspirin and is trying to get as many people on an aspirin regimen as soon as possible? Bayer, it is what it is. On to a couple questions.
Yeah, just hit me funny. Bayer Aspirin. I never noticed that before.
I'm shocked.
Bayer Aspirin.
It's always on his mind. All right.
Should we tell people the mood I was in the other night? Apparently it was worse than usual, Paul said.
Oh, I think you needed to be sedated the other night.
I was excited. A man from the catering department dropped off a full-size carrot cake.
Andy took it home.
Yep, had about five slices
the last three
days.
We need to let them know that anytime they have food,
yes,
bring
our
it
friend
up.
Rob, we will tell him anytime there's extra food, bring it up.
I wasn't able to watch the game. From the commentary, it seemed that the linebackers might have been having more trouble than the secondary. Was that true, or were the struggles spread evenly over the D?
I would say evenly.
Yeah, I would say linebackers did have a particularly, you know, down performance, but I think when it came to the running game, even the front line.
Yeah, I'm not sure why we're eliminating the line in this particular game. I think that they've been pretty good all year, but this was systematic failure.
Give me your three stars on defense. Ooh. I don't have any.
I think Chandler Jones played reasonably well, but
it didn't look like it when
I think Ninko
CJ Spiller was bouncing left every time, going as wide as he wanted.
Ninko did nothing.
I'd say Ninko, Spikes.
I thought they all sucked. I would
Spikes
say I don't have any nothing. Stars today.
Spikes did nothing.
Nothing.
He forced a fumble, made a couple tackles. He did all right.
Okay. We just got finished talking about how the linebackers were out of position all day on those crossing routes over the middle, of which Ryan Fitzpatrick made a living.
I think Spikes had
They ran the ball for almost 6 yards a carry.
I think
linebackers are supposed to have a part of that. He caused a fumble. And when did he cause a fumble?
I thought he was the one that hit Fred Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, the fumble that Buffalo
flexed.
Recovered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think the part of the heartburn after this game was that on top of the frustrations yet again with the D, expectations may have been up given the bye and the Patriots' performance against the Rams. The Bills and Rams
Guilty.
Could be regarded as fairly even in quality as they have the same record. If anything, the Rams are slightly better. What was the difference between the Rams game and this one? Is the Rams' run game not what it used to be, and the Patriots struggled against the two-headed monster of the Bills as they have against the quality runners like Ray Rice all through the season? Is the Bills' O-line better than that of the Rams? Has anyone...
Yes, the Bills' O-line is better than the Rams. The Rams had the worst offensive line in the league.
Struggled all season.
And I think Steven Jackson isn't really the Steven Jackson.
Oh, no. No. Yeah. He's limited physically. They took him out a bunch in that game. The Richardson guy actually had more success. But, yeah, their offensive line is terrible. But
The Bills were missing offensive linemen in that game, too. They've been banged up a little bit up front.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Absolutely. Yeah, no excuse. Absolutely.
They're eating cookies, so I'll say now that I'm starting to wonder whether it's time to pull the plug on Logan Mankins for the year and just say this was a lost year, snake bitten, injury killed. Because as tough as he is, he's like dragging half his body out to the field.
Yeah.
And when he got hurt, I think he was already slowed, and that's part of why he got hurt. He looked physically unable to move his feet properly, and then Wendell rolls up on him and hurt. But like, I just feel like he's gotten it out, and I can respect that, but
yeah.
I'm not sure. It might not be just time to end it.
Has anyone baked Aqib Talib a pizza with his name on it, a la what Buffalo did with Mario Williams? Not yet. And
So what do you think meant more, the pizza or the $100 million?
At least we don't have to put up with what the Chiefs fans have to deal with. That's true.
That is true. They led last night, though.
Yeah.
They tried to win.
What's Paul doing?
I don't know. He walked out.
He's back.
And then he came back. It's strange. Got a phone call. His baby was delivered.
Dave in Monterey, California. Belichick's defensive success has always had some sort of tenacity. They usually have some sort of player that everybody hates to play against but would love to have on your team.
Spikes.
Remember, we had Brian Cox, Rodney Harrison, and now Spikes. Bill will never admit it, but he wants defensive players to come in, punch you in the mouth, and tell you that they're going to do it again, again, and again. He wants opposing offensive players to believe that our players will pummel you into Bolivian, he writes. Bolivian. Irrelevant of any penalties or fines. Bill wants the other...
Sorry about that. You're a bad person.
Why? Well, Bolivian is pretty funny.
I think you could have helped the guy out a little
bit. Okay,
autocorrect.
Bill wants the other teams to seriously question if they want the ball. Bill Spikes is our bad boy. And he is a bad boy, but he's our bad boy in Bills, too. Well, that's kind of what Andy said.
Yeah. I don't think anybody on any other team doesn't want to hold the ball.
Right.
I think they envision holding the ball as a chance to pad their numbers and put up fantasy stats.
Certainly on Sunday.
I mean, literally, other than running backs, because I don't agree with the guy that they've struggled all year against quality running backs. No, they haven't.
No, they haven't.
Unless you just say that they've only faced two quality running backs and they struggled. I mean, because I thought they did a good job at Buffalo the first time around against those two. Now I think they were both far less than
100%. They've been all year.
Well, Chris Johnson had 2 yards.
3.7 yards a carry in every game or less, aside from Baltimore and Buffalo. I mean, That's dominant. They were, what, seventh in the league? They're a very good run defense. Now, some of that is the other team just says, I'm going to freaking throw it.
Exactly.
But they were hurt big time by the plays against the run because the Buffalo didn't have to choose to just throw it. They said, I can get 10 yards every time I run it or 15 yards every time I throw it.
I mean, in a game that they were trailing by 14 points, for good stretches of the middle of the game, they still only threw 40 times,
mm-hmm.
or 43 times. They got sacked three times. So they were able to stay reasonably balanced throughout the game. And like I said, they averaged almost 6 yards a carry as a team.
And there's plenty of guys. I mean, I think all coaches want guys that have an edge to them on defense. You know, it's what we've talked about with Mayo, for example. Does he not have that edge that, you know, he's a great heady football player, but is he missing that little bit of something? And, you know, I don't think that makes you a genius coach or even makes you a bad coach. It makes you a good coach to know defense is an emotional game, a physical.
Right.
You know, I've got to have some of those guys out there that are a little off.
Sure. Paul writes in, there was a fumble during the game. At one point during the replay, it looked like Chandler Jones clearly had possession of the ball, which was eventually taken away by Buffalo. Should the officials be able to use replay to determine possession, if possible, or do they want to keep whoever can wrestle the ball away in a pile as part of the game?
Well, all turnovers are subject to review, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know the play specifically that we're talking about here. You're saying that a guy had the ball and then someone took it away from him at the bottom of the pile? I don't remember a play like that happening on Sunday. But I don't think you can do that, can you? I mean, don't you have to go with who recovered it?
Yeah, he's saying
if replay shows that,
an obvious guy has it, touched,
right.
All that,
right.
And then the pile continues to ensue and they give it to somebody else.
Can they overturn that on replay? I don't think you can.
I don't think you can either. I don't really know why.
I don't know why either. It's much like, you know, covering up the tackle. I don't know why they, you know. But I didn't see, I mean, I didn't see a play like that on Sunday.
I remember a play.
I think the Patriots had a chance to recover a fumble that they didn't, but I don't remember him. You know, it was kind of like Pierre Woods in the Super Bowl in Arizona. He had the ball, but then he rolled over and kind of lost it on his own. No one took it away from him. And if it was Chandler Jones, then that I don't even know who it was. I just remember there was a blue shirt that
I do remember that
had a good chance to recover it and didn't. The ball
stayed
loose.
I thought it was Cole, but I thought I remember seeing Cole dive on a ball and then he didn't get it. But I don't know. I hit my head a lot. I like Ray Edwards. People tell me I liked Ray Edwards, and I remember not liking Ray Edwards and saying he was just riding the coattails of
Jared Allen. Right?
And I said I had no desire to hand him.
He's
big
the new
money.
Guy that we're going to
yeah.
get.
Oh, right? And I'd kick the tires on him now because I don't have to pay him $30 million. I mean, Dimitroff already made that mistake. But, I'd take him. You're wondering if the defense is getting worn down. You know, could you use another pass rusher?
Why did they get rid of him?
Because he sucks.
Yeah.
Same reason anyone is getting.
Well, he didn't know off-field stuff or anything.
Oh,
like
no.
That.
No, it's 3.5 sacks in 2-plus seasons.
So we won't be interested then.
Oh, Paul made a commentary there.
Well, no, he only had 3.5 sacks in 2 years. I mean, why would be interested?
You're such a fat fraud.
Tyler from Georgia. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Have a couple of thoughts I want to share in the game, and then I have an unusual dream to share. So first the game, there were two things that left me somewhat frustrated coming from the win Sunday. The first was the offense. Despite being within 9 yards of a touchdown and not being able to deliver the final blow of the game and having to settle for a field goal. The second is the fact that defense put us in a position to complain about the offense not being able to close out the game when they put up 37 points. That said, I had a very peculiar football-related dream last week. It started off very fun as my friends and I ended up at a major amusement park with the Patriots. I spent the majority of the dream trying to hang out with Brady without looking like I was trying too hard to hang out with Brady. Apparently, I have an awkward subconscious. The most absurd moment was when we realized Rex Ryan was staying at our hotel, and I also happened to receive information that his wife was also his sister. As odd as I was to hear, my dream self-treated this news like it was a matter of national security. I took it upon myself to get to the bottom of the matter and even confronted Rex using the absolute worst Sean Connery James Bond impression, and I have absolutely no idea why. As the dream continued, it appeared more and more my information was incorrect about Rex. My dream ended with me speaking with Brady briefly
before we all boarded our buses to come home. I don't know what the dream means, and honestly, I don't think I want to know what any of it means. And that's it. So that's his dream.
I like the part about the wife slash sister.
That is kind of strange.
Foot fetish and a incestuous.
Patriots had an amusement park, Belichick. You know,
and then he ends up talking like Sean Connery, James.
Somewhere every up, there's a down.
By the way, so
I just pictured Will Fork in the front going, ah!
I saw Skyfall over the weekend. Very good. I liked it.
Okay, good.
Very good movie.
Good. Paul's never seen a Bond flick.
I haven't.
That's
another thing. Not start to finish.
Paul has never seen a complete Bond flick.
But I don't have any problem with Bond movies.
How do you know? You've never seen one.
No, I'm saying I don't have any problem with them.
You just haven't seen one.
Maybe you have a problem with them and you haven't realized it yet because you haven't seen it.
Okay. I guess I have a problem with them then.
508-298-03. Is it a badge of honor that you've never seen?
No, that was kind of my point.
Because it's like a badge of honor for me that I never saw Sex in the City. You know,
it's a badge
like
of honor for
that.
You?
I'm proud of that.
Yeah. I've never seen it either.
Yeah, you should be proud of
that. The movies or the show?
Because I have testicles.
Either. Yeah.
I had a question I had to ask you.
I like the show.
It
was a good television show.
I remember you
did
went.
You watch
I
know
no buildings
did
blew up and there wasn't like 150 people dead in the opening sequence.
Did you like Ally McBeal?
You wouldn't like it.
Did you like it?
Never saw Ally McBeal.
Oh, never saw Ally McBeal.
Didn't you say you went to a band competition and Dartmouth was there?
Yeah, last season.
Because
when
I was driving home from the game the other night, they I believe passed me because they have a tractor trailer truck that has like.
By the way, my alma mater won the New England band competition.
Well, maybe that's where they were coming from. Was it Sunday?
I think so, yeah.
But the tractor trailer truck passed me, but there were also like five buses, just like we take, and a police escort.
Wow.
Are you telling me my town's band gets a police escort to these freaking shows? And why? And who pays for that?
Well, the boosters pay for that.
That's it.
The parents pay for that.
What's the need of that?
I don't know.
That's just like showing off, wasting money, stupid. That's an embarrassment. That needs to be funneled into the football program.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with a TIN is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Well,
I think we have an idea of how you took the game on Sunday.
Yep, that glass is half empty.
Yes. Wow, they blow.
They won.
I'm sorry. It won because Ryan Fitzpatrick can't read a defense with less than under 2 minutes.
Actually, it was the wide receiver's fault.
Okay, yeah, he was supposed to cut underneath the cover, too, whatever the hell that means. Yeah, I know he's supposed to come underneath. Listen, they were missing tackles, and I just don't understand why, after all these years, there hasn't been improvement. I just don't understand why, with one of the greatest defensive minds roaming the sidelines, that they just do not improve. And don't give me that crap about last year about how they got better throughout the season. They did. They got lucky. And this offense has to be perfect, perfect on every drive to have a chance to win the game. That's what they're turning these games into. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You think about it.
Why it should be like this.
Christian, they scored on each of their first four possessions in the game. They opened the game scoring four straight times and still found themselves in a dogfight. The other team had 14 penalties and turned the ball over three times, twice in the red zone, and they were still in a dogfight. That's like amazing stuff to me.
It's almost impossible.
Well, it's interesting. Friend of the show, Chris Price, interviewed Bill Parcells, and Parcells commented on this year's team, and he said, you know, it's obvious that they have trouble in pass coverage, but he still says they still need help in the pass rush.
Oh, absolutely.
He still says that they're not as good as they should be in the pass rush.
Nowhere near.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's what I said coming out of London, is I thought you finally saw some pressures. I thought that game, Sam Bradford was affected by pressures and hits. Not sacks.
Not just sacks.
Pressures and hits. And I didn't see that this week. And that's where I was guilty
of games,
building off the, you know, the bye and the week before. I was definitely guilty of thinking something was brewing a little bit there. That wasn't.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. Other than the Rams game, they've had a handful of sacks. You know, they get one or two or three sacks, and then very little other pressure. The Rams game, they got a couple of sacks, and then a half dozen or so other times where they just made the ball get out much quicker than Bradford wanted it to.
Coincidentally, it's the worst offensive line in football.
Right. Now, that's the only time they were able to do that. But I still look at that whole game plan thing, and I wonder, do we have to be so beholden to it? Like, can't – it's clear, Andy, that you're right. They looked at that offensive line in St. Louis, and they said, we got to take advantage of these clowns. Well, is every offensive line not susceptible to pressure once in a while? Because it doesn't seem like we send a whole lot
depends
of extra
how good
guys.
You are, but it also depends how good you are.
No, I'm not saying that, you sell out and blitz. You know,
No. I'm talking about how good your guys are. How good a pass rusher you have. Is Jerod Mayo good at rushing the passer? Is Brandon Spikes good at rushing the passer?
But are they good enough to try?
Well, no, because if
they
just
a couple of times.
Yeah, but if they're just going to pull a James Sanders and run into the guy blocking them, then no, then you just wasted a body.
Well, so you're saying that they're like that, but only because they played the Rams, they were able
possibly
to get there.
You remember those ones up the middle, the center, they had just miscommunication. They were getting killed communications-wise. Now, maybe you could argue the Bills aren't that good. I mean, let's make some other teams have some miscommunication.
Yeah, I just find it hard to believe, I guess what I'm saying, is that the Rams is the only offensive line that's so bad that even we could blitz against
them. No, they should have done it against Arizona.
You know what I mean?
Marquise Batista, whatever the hell his name was. No, there's no question. You know, I think Chandler Jones is becoming overrated. I mean, he's having a very good rookie season, but he's good. He's not, you know, impacting games like he's changing them for this team.
No, I just think that when we do get pressure, he's generally responsible for it. Either he gets
Cunningham
there
too.
Yeah,
no?
He misdirects
or,
see, a
I
lot
thought
of
Cunningham.
Plays.
I thought Cunningham benefited from other pressure elsewhere.
Oh, I didn't. I thought the
I
exact
thought he
opposite.
Had another good game.
I thought the
another.
Wilfork,
Yeah. Jesus.
I thought the Wilfork sack was all Cunningham. See, I thought he blew by
sack.
The guard.
Yeah, I stand corrected.
Fitzpatrick
right.
saw him and ran the other way, and Wilfork ate him.
This particular,
he swallowed
I stand corrected. You are correct, Andy.
And
I'm
I th- and then he had the sack later. I thought he was.
I thought
productive.
Jones created his sack.
No,
but
that
you
happens.
Are absolutely right.
So now he's
created,
one for one.
Yes,
he's an impact player.
I'm kind of like last year.
The more we have of those, like Carter and Anderson, we started talking about last year, they have impacts on each other.
Yeah, Carter created a lot of Anderson sacks.
Right. So and the Bills learned that lesson the hard way.
He's so down.
He's gonna off himself. Good news, you got the Colts this week. They blow. I'm not predicting a blowout because Fred told me I can never ever predict a blowout again.
No, you
see,
can. I just said
I'm predicting
not.
The same thing that I predicted last week. 38-23.
Because you're an idiot and never learn your lesson.
one touchdown difference.
Fathead, who's covering Reggie Wayne?
Nobody.
So, I keep to lead.
Doesn't matter. So, the Colts blow. Look at the Colts numbers. They're not good at anything.
And they're not high-powered enough to score that many points.
Their quarterback's name is perfect for the reason they have their record.
And as good as Luck has been doing, he still has as many interceptions as touchdowns. You know?
If you look at the pure numbers, his rating is low. His third-down passer rating isn't good.
His
fourth-quarter
like
passer rating.
Barely
completion
over 50%,
is well, it's under 60. I think it's like 57.9.
Okay.
You know, their turnover ratio, they're like 27th in the NFL. Everything about them says they shouldn't be good. And yet they're 6-3. They have the same exact record as
Chuck
you.
Strong.
Well, that is certainly part of it. It's a reason we have that intangible box in the matchups
no,
in the paper. Intangibles matter.
I didn't say that to be funny. It's true.
No, Paul wrote to be funny that Chuck Strong and Pagano himself are alive in Indy. He did.
I
he actually wrote it.
Well, fans like it, so Paul doesn't.
What did I write my whole preview on?
I'm only Paul. I'm just kidding.
But what did I write my whole preview? No,
Chuck
because
Strong.
He's saying something like
actually,
that.
Actually, it was one of his most emotional previews.
Yeah, I cried. Did you see the wet
I was
spot?
Very, I was actually waiting.
Very well-written preview.
I was actually waiting for you to come in and wipe your eyes off. Yeah. I actually kind of anticipated you making fun of me.
No,
for that.
I was going to. I did notice that. It didn't go unnoticed, Paul.
But Andy, what I'm taking exception to is I wrote Chuck Strong is alive and well in Indy, and so is Pagano. I didn't necessarily mean that. Strictly that the man's alive, I meant that
like he might not be next week. Right. As you're reading this, he's still alive.
But and you knew exactly when you read it what I meant, but he's taking it to such an ugly place.
At press time,
shut
Pagano
up, Christian.
Was still alive.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. I needed that.
See, we do our lifting.
All right.
Let's see. Gerardo Hernandez claims that he's Aaron Hernandez's cousin. I don't know. But he's from Mexico City, and he says, so this is who the Patriots are, among the best teams in the NFL, but no longer the dominant team. Here are my thoughts on the last game. Bright side, Ridley, Woodhead in the O-line. Dark side, the defense, maybe with Wilfork the only exception. Welker in the play calling. Quick question related with the play calling. Who decided, Tom, Bill, or Josh, to continue with the hurry-up offense right after Ridley got the first and 10 with less than 2:30 on the clock. Why didn't we run out the clock? That drive finished in a field goal, and we left too much time for the Bills.
That's your Take Tuesday on Patriots.com. Bill Belichick talked a lot about it yesterday, had a long answer saying, you know, you're trying to push the envelope there and get the touchdown, make it a two-score game. If you do that, you know, you kind of close the door. When you don't, then you hear the criticism.
Right.
But he also, I thought, brought up, you know, the fact that sometimes by being too cautious and focused on, you're going to get criticized later. Like, he was aware of criticism for not putting your foot on the throat, and they tried to put their foot on the throat. Now, who did it? I don't know.
And we've heard teams, not necessarily, you know, it's not always this team, but we've heard fans and media criticize teams for not being aggressive.
My guess is that
was Josh.
This
is how you did it. Why are you stopping doing
what? With how quickly that unfolded, my guess is that was Josh's decision.
Yeah.
I don't think that had enough for a play to happen that quickly, and it happened quickly. Ridley, first of all, was caught off because he was celebrating his previous run. CBS almost missed the play because they were in a replay and didn't expect it. For it to happen as quickly as it did, I find it hard to believe that Bill said, why don't we tempo here, Josh, and then Josh, I think it was probably Josh saying, let's end this. Boom, get to the line and run it that quickly.
Yeah.
And it was, if it was, then I think it was one of his worst days, because I said to Paul, I never criticize play calling. I very rarely do. But that slow developing end around.
I thought he had a couple of
was
curious
a
calls.
Horrific call after you're running the ball down their bleeping throats. Why
and
are
they
we
got
screwing
very
around?
Lucky on that play not to throw a pick.
Yeah, don't screw around. You're running the ball. Keep running it. So that was one time when I thought that was a horrific call by Josh.
Jonathan writes in: the buck stops with Belichick. BB needs to be accountable for the lack of talent and performance from A to Z. Coaches included. Personally, I think he has too much on his plate. I'd like to see Belichick bring in a talented, proven coaches rather than always promising from within or promoting from within. If the guy in-house is the best candidate, fine, but it never seems that we do our full due diligence when hiring coaches. Belichick always says they do what's best for the team. Would Mangini not be an upgrade over Patricia? I know there's a ton of bad blood, but he is a better coach. If Cornell did become available, he should be hired in a heartbeat. We need help on the D side of the ball. You can never have too many talented coaches or players. You know, but the thing is,
it's really interesting.
If Mangini,
when you look at it like that,
if Mangini
like
was the coach of these players, would he have been any better than Patricia? He had some good players back
then. I believe
then.
He would be.
You do?
Yeah.
He might be.
I think he's
I'm
a better
not a big
coach.
Mangini guy.
I don't think that he's as good as Romeo. I think if Romeo was good, you'd be even better.
I just remember all the rumblings of criticism when he was here for the 1 year.
Yeah.
Nobody respected him. Nobody thought he was any good.
I think, but if you look at it that way, you know, he always does what's in the best interest of the team.
Well,
you could argue that that's, you know, that would be in the best interest of the team.
Yeah, I would argue no if I'm him, because if you bring in him that I don't like, then I'm leaving, and that's not in the best interest of your team.
Well, I mean,
a happy Belichick is in the best interest of the
team.
To
me, if you're truly worrying about what's in the best interest of the team, personality shouldn't really.
Might not be personality. No. He might think he stinks.
Okay.
Right?
He might.
He didn't think he was ready to be a head coach.
He might. He might think he stinks.
Adam in Alexandria, Virginia, Aqib Talib, over-under game the rest of the year, including playoffs. Four picks, over-under, rest of the year.
Under. Over.
One pick six.
Under.
Push.
Two touchdowns given up.
Over.
Over.
One unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Probably a hit out of bounds or something like that.
I'll say under.
I'll say over.
I mean, you don't get those that often as a corner.
Yeah.
Unless you're Dennard.
would that count?
Oh, yeah, late hit out of bounds on unsportsmanlike.
Isn't that a personal foul?
Oh, I don't know what we're talking about then. What are we talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, one, for Aqib Talib.
Yeah, I'll say under.
Isn't that include unnecessary roughness? Are those? What's unsportsmanlike conduct?
I think he's insinuating him getting in some sort of altercation,
yeah.
Right?
I don't think
then under.
Yeah, I don't think he will. Artie and Keene says that earlier the email said he saw a play where Chandler Jones had the ball on a turnover. He said the emailer was right. Chandler had the ball on replay and was down, and someone else ended up with it in the end. I thought the same thing. If he had possession, proved via replay, and touched, he should be down.
I don't think he had possession.
Right,
if it's the play that we're talking about, the Fred Jackson fumble. Yeah.
But the question is, if he did, okay, he had the ball, and then all of a sudden everybody piles on him, and you know the Bills ended up with the ball after the pileup. If they go and review,
they should give it to him.
And they see that Chandler had the ball for a moment on the ground with possession, then was touched. Can they reverse that?
I believe yes.
I think they can. Okay. I think they can do that.
I think that's the question.
I believe, yes, yeah. they could.
Okay. I just don't think that's what would happen on that.
No, no, that may not have, but they could if, you know, conceivably. PJ writes in, I have a question for you guys in the know. In Philly, we went through the whole Juan Castillo fiasco where he was an offensive line coach who got promoted to defensive coordinator. Didn't really work out, but I have a question as to why it didn't work out. Do coaches in general have a specific area of expertise that they can't venture beyond? For example, Belichick was a D coordinator and a great defensive mind before getting a head coaching job. You guys always say that Bill pretty much runs the whole show there. Could Bill hypothetically leave New England and take offensive coordinator job and be successful, in your opinion?
Yes.
In other words, is a good coach just a good coach? Or would the person most likely fail when switching roles? John Harbaugh, for example, was a special teams coach here and then got promoted to tight ends coach and now is a head coach. Would he have enough experience and know-how to get a D coordinator job in the NFL? Just a random question. Let me know what you think. Keep up the great show and great work. And P.S. Philly will be in the market for a new head coach next season. What do you guys think of Chip Kelly? He's a great innovator, and the fact that Belichick had enough respect for him to try and use the parts of the offense that he made famous makes me really intrigued.
Yeah, blew up on the goal line.
You know, as far as it depends on the person, really, as far as how versatile they can be.
Right.
Belichick started as a special teams coach in Baltimore, and then, you know, was mostly defense from there on in.
But it also, it depends on what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bill is involved in everything now. There are plenty of head coaches that choose not to really take part in the other aspect, whatever their non-strength is. So, I mean, John Gruden could probably be a defensive coordinator if he wanted to be. He doesn't do it. His MO is he just runs the offense and hires a defensive coordinator. But he knows offenses, so he knows defenses and vice versa by studying the tape, but he has no desire to be that. I think Bill wants to have his thumb on everything.
Bill
and
runs it all.
Know everything.
And that's why we say it that way, because he literally is involved in every element of the team.
And I think,
and not all head coaches do that.
And I think he's one of the rare guys that is better than every coach in his team in terms of knowing how to do it all. It's a fact. You guys can roll your eyes and snicker. But
I just rolled my eyes.
He could, if he had to do anyone,
I just giggled.
Anybody else's job, just that job, he'd do it better than that guy.
It's amazing he ever loses any game.
It's true.
Oh, come on, Paul. You know.
But I mean, the way you talk,
it's true. You sound like it happens to be the truth.
You think that it's a fact that he's just better than everybody who's ever coached ever.
No, I said.
So he's better than Mike McCarthy calling plays, or he's better than.
But that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what he just said. He says no, but that's what he just
said. On the team that he's on right now.
Oh, because he has a terrible staff.
But I'm just saying.
Okay.
On the team that he's on.
I'm not laughing at
that. And no, he couldn't do the offensive line job better than Dante. No doubt he could not. He could not.
Okay.
He could not.
There might be one.
I misunderstood you. I apologize.
I'm not talking about ever in the league.
That's what I thought you meant, too.
That's what you were saying.
Play calling.
On his team.
Because I think he would struggle as a play caller, because he hasn't done it. He hasn't done offensive play calling.
I think he could do it.
I didn't say he couldn't do it. I think he would struggle. I think there'd be an immense learning curve.
And I think there's a rhythm to it.
It's more of an art than a science.
A feel.
No, I agree with that, and I think he could do it.
And he's a scientist more than an artist.
I definitely think he could do it.
And I think he'd be successful at it.
Maybe. Yeah. Now, he'd get the rope, because he's Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, if he did a Juan Castillo thing, he'd last longer because he's Bill Belichick.
I definitely think he could do it.
I think if they told Bill Belichick, you need to produce and figure out how to do a weekly radio show, he'd do it better than any of us.
I don't.
Oh, I don't think that.
He would figure out what would be best, and he would do it.
I don't think so.
I think to not have him on it would be wrong.
Now I'm rolling my eyes again.
But that might be one of the things he comes up with.
So he's just
to leave us doing it. He would do it best.
He's just wasted talent then. He should be the president of the United States is what you're saying.
He could be.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what you're saying.
He could be.
Why his communication skills would be great for foreign policy.
Why would you want to be president
of the United States and make that measly amount of money when you can make $10 million a year being
a NFL? What a waste of a life just in football when he could have provided the cure for cancer and everything else that ails the world.
If he's happy,
he could have ended world hunger. He could have provided for the third world countries.
Well,
around,
now I think you're going a little.
But that's what you're. That's exactly what you're saying. I am not exaggerating off of what the statement. You could come in here and do this better than that. That this better than him. That better.
It's true.
It's so disrespectful to the rest of the planet. It's beyond belief.
You just offended the planet.
Are there no superior people in this world?
Is he really one of them?
I don't really think of football coaches in that light.
No, but
kill me.
He's one of them.
He's a football coach.
He would succeed at whatever he does.
Not if it involved communicating.
He would know that, and he would find somebody to do it for him. But he would still run the show better than most people in the world.
Now we're down to most people.
I'm seeing there's probably a lot of people as good as.
He is coaching as well as anyone's ever coached, Andy.
Fabricio writes in, now that you're talking about hiring coaches that are about to get fired, would you rather Romeo or Rex Ryan? I assume as defensive coordinator.
Romeo.
Yeah, I just, Rex Ryan's too big for the room, you know. He's either got to be in charge or, I just don't think he can have
Rex. He was a subordinate in Baltimore.
Yeah, but now he's, now.
He can't go back?
I don't know. I don't think he would.
I mean, you could argue that.
Yeah, I don't think
Mike Martz, I don't think ever successfully went back.
I actually would argue that. I agree with Fred.
Yeah, it'd be hard to contain that. Now, college head coach, I think he could be a good one, you know.
Oh, I think he's a good head coach now.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't think it's either being an NFL head coach or nothing. I think, you know, being a college head coach at a big program.
I also don't think
he's
going to get fired.
Yeah, he probably isn't.
What if John Gruden takes over in Philadelphia and they say he needs a strong defensive? What about those two?
Gruden might be one of the guys that could handle.
See, I think you could do something like that. But I don't see Bill. I think he's too big. I agree with Fred's phrase. He's too big for the room with someone like Bill.
He lost weight.
Because now you're butting heads.
Yeah, I think.
No, but that's what I'm asking. What is the fit for him? Yeah. Is it a strong one? Because Gruden is pretty strong-willed.
Right.
Or is it, an offensive-minded but sort of pushover, Joe Philbin?
I think a guy like Gruden has the combination of, being
annoying.
Out there like Ryan, but also being, a good head coach. Whereas a guy like Philbin, let's say he's a good head coach, but he's too reserved. And Bill's the same way. He's reserved, good head coach, but when you have that subordinate that's making noise, oh, that's a distraction. I don't need that. But I think Gruden could put up with it.
But the other... Is it, because now you got to also talk about where the players' loyalties lie and things in the locker room. And we all know Rex Ryan is likable. He's a people person. If you're with him, you're going to kind of be drawn to his personality and how that would play versus the head coach and his personality and his guys. Right. And do you have a fractured team now?
And I think Gruden is so focused on offense. He's an offensive guy.
Yeah, he now annoys me.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
This guy. The whole guy thing. They have names. You don't have to say this guy, Rashard Mendenhall. Just say Rashard Mendenhall. I don't need the this guy every time.
Yeah. I don't even need the first name. You can just go with
it. Yeah. You don't use first names.
Lance writes
except
in.
Except for on third reference.
Lance J., I have some thoughts about this weekend's game against the Colts. I'm from Indiana, so I get the Colts shoved down my throat everywhere I go. Unfortunately, I have some knowledge about them. I think we will need to run the football a lot. They are terrible defending the run. My second reason for running the ball is we have to control the game and keep Luck on the other sideline. Luck will torch this secondary, and we will have to match point for point with them. This isn't the team to get in a shootout with. Trust me.
I agree with a lot of that, but I don't have any fear of being in a shootout with the Colts because they're minus about five guns that the Patriots have in that shootout. So I do respect Luck, and I do think that they can move the ball, but... If this game gets in the 30s, the Colts will not win it. They will not win 38-35. The Colts will not be able to do that. And I agree wholeheartedly. I agree wholeheartedly with his the running. And Deion sort of foreshadowed that when I talked to him after the game the other
Sanders.
Day. This is a game I think they're going to need to run the ball probably a little bit earlier because this is one of those old-time indie defenses. They're not as bad statistically, but... You can run on this team.
Let me tell you something. If the Patriots refuse to cover the deep middle in this game, they're going to get screwed because this guy can fire lasers 30 yards down the field with no arc on it whatsoever.
I know. He is actually God.
You know, down
There's no Belichick, though. If Belichick wanted to be a quarterback, he'd be better at it than Andrew Luck.
That's true.
No, I'm talking cerebral.
Wouldn't be hard. Just complete 60% of your passes.
TG
I'm down on luck.
TG and NJ
I'm being a contrarian Perillo here.
TG and NJ says that I'm Fred is exaggerating better than anyone has ever exaggerated before.
Right, exactly.
Better than or as well as?
Jim in Pittsburgh says Bolivian is a Mike Tyson quote. He did an interview where he said he was Bolivious to something. It's classic. Still haven't seen a game this year, although I saw the last 2 minutes Sunday, watching Tom Brady sit on the sideline looking like Peyton Manning used to look at the end of the game playing us. We can't stop anything. I love last week's show and the argument on what better is. You guys can and will argue about everything. I notice Andy is very sensitive to any criticism of the Wilson Heart Power Index. Too much estrogen, yep. Andy, or what? Wow, and my mother is in her 70s and 4'8", so any comment about doing something with my mother would be more offensive to you than to me.
Nah.
Who is Wilson anyway?
She doesn't have her
is
teeth.
That the volleyball probably, from Castaway?
Proactive.
Because
I like
that might explain some things.
Wilson!
By the way, who is any changes to the Wilson Heart?
Oh, yes, littered with changes.
Really?
How could there not be? The two teams faced atop the polls, and the undefeated lost.
Shocking changes?
No.
No?
Slight movement.
Yeah.
I don't have it with me, and it wasn't. Is Chris Ferreira here today?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because I sent it to him to post, and he hadn't done anything.
Oh. Ramon's in Dallas. Why do we play prevent defense? I don't think we're pretty good at it at all. I'm assuming that's what we were playing when the Bills caught back up to us. Ugh. I caught the last couple of minutes of the game on one of those
drives.
Now I
have to play the role of Fred.
The defense rushed about four and got pressure on Fitzy, and the result was favorable to the Patriots.
Rushing
on the
about
next
four.
Drive after that, we started rushing three and giving Fitzy time to pick us apart. Knowing our secondary is sort of bad, why do we back off from the aggressive defense? I know it's not feasible to do it all the time, but if it's working, why change it? I almost blew a gasket seeing us go from having a three and out and then giving up the entire field.
What was the three
Paul,
and out?
Paul, you were rolling your eyes while I was reading.
When the Bills got three consecutive penalties to turn a third and one into a third and 21, the Patriots got pressure. Otherwise, they didn't get pressure. They didn't play a pre-event. They played the same defense that they played in the first nine games. They can't stop the pass. And they get only a marginal pressure on the passer. It's not a, you know, we're going to rush three thing every play. They didn't rush three every play. They didn't do that. So I don't know what to say to someone who saw something so totally different than what happened.
Wow. Harry in Vegas writes in, hey, guys, love the show. I try never to miss an episode. Wish you were on Monday and Friday as well. Unfortunately, we didn't get a TV feed of the game here locally, and I was wondering what happened with Vasante Shenko. I didn't see any stats for him in the box score. Did he play at all?
Mm-hmm.
He did. If not, when do you think we might see him? I had high hopes for him to be a good addition to the offense, but, of course, I also thought that of Brandon Bolden and Jeff Demps. So please give us, those who couldn't get to the game, some idea of what we can expect from Shenko. The information is difficult to find here. Shenko was in there. They didn't throw a pass to him. But, you know, assuming that Hernandez comes back, I mean, how much really do you expect from Shenko?
Well, this would have been a game where you would have expected something. Now, it's his first game, so how comfortable he is, how comfortable they are with him is a question. But, you know, if you're sticking with your core offense, he's probably the guy most able to replicate Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
Now, when Hernandez comes back, are they going to have him out there with Hernandez, with Grunka? I doubt it. Yeah. So I don't know what kind of a role he's going to have, but they certainly have committed to him. I mean, they could have easily just cut him or put him on IR. They committed to having him a part of this team.
GA in South Carolina.
What was that?
What's that?
GA?
GA. A lot of people are really concerned with this.
Oh,
they
it's his title, not his name?
Oh, I don't know.
They want to know, a lot of people concerned about what number will Aqib Talib wear. It's on the minds of a lot of people.
Check ESPNBoston.com. I'm sure they'll update that quickly.
There's a shot.
Well, that's what they're known for.
Speaking of uniforms, Eric in Brooklyn says he's noticed that it seems to me that the New York Giants D linemen always wear their jerseys really small. They still do, but I feel like it was more noticeable with the old Reebok stuff. Just watch any game and you'll notice their arms bulging out of their shirts. Now, I used to think that this was just for look, but then as the new Nike stuff was coming out, I heard some defenders talking about how form-fitting it was and how it would reduce the chance of a lineman holding them.
Do you think that the Giants players were onto something with wearing their jerseys really small? If so, shouldn't all teams, especially ours, consider uniform fit as a point for potential competitive advantage?
They all do.
They all
and they
do
have
it
for years.
Yeah.
The one change they made this year was, which you probably noticed, they used to do double-sided tape on the inside of their shirts to keep them tight and snug to the pads to, again, keep from being able to grab it. This year, they've all gone to this Velcro thing on the inside, and it twists the jersey funny, and it doesn't work as well, and it's permanent. It's on their pads. They don't change it every week, but it looks terrible. You know, the numbers will be crooked, and I don't care for it. But that's – and they all wear small jerseys with not – remember that for a while there were big NFL jerseys, like the Brewski era where his was always be down to like his,
right.
He used
right.
our cover to try to get out of a fine or something. Right. But now it's all short jerseys. And I don't know if you've noticed, the pants don't stay up. You see ass crack every week in the NFL now with these new Nike pants. I saw one on Come On Man last night where you practically saw the ass, the taint, the whole damn thing.
Oh. And you were pretty excited about it.
No, I wasn't. I don't understand why these pants are coming down so easily. I don't.
Pants off and helmets off. A lot of that.
Yeah.
The helmet thing is bothered me for a while now. I think the helmets don't fit the players. And that's
well, and
why
college football
so
is fixing it, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the NFL go in a direction.
And I can't help but think that at least this is partly responsible for all the problems we're having with head injuries, is that the helmets don't fit. Hmm. I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all.
It's Dr. Perillo.
Another emailer says that Dan Fouts saw the same fumble replay, and after a few looks at the replay, identified Jones as having possession. So that's one they missed. We should have had that one. Game over.
I think, unless it's a different play that I don't know about, I don't think I saw it that way. It's kind of like you're passing the
film. Watch it on Game Review this afternoon. Or Rewind. What's it called? Rewind.
Strippers tells us that Pro Football Focus has the Patriots' offensive line eighth after 10 weeks. So just want to let everyone know.
They've done a good job.
Sounds about right.
Despite having to play everybody and their brother. And Bill talking about how they lucked out the other day. They had an extra guy active, and that helped them when they had to put both backup guards in. I mean, I think they have done a good job, Thomas and McDonald, when thrown into the fire. Now, I don't know if I'd like to see it each and every week where it's Thomas, Wendell, McDonald every single week and other teams game planning for it and all that.
Right, right.
That might concern me.
Strippers also says that somebody on ESPN said that the Jets would be 6-3 if Tebow was starting.
Oh, God.
I don't agree with that.
So, do we see Tebow at all? Or, I mean, I know that Ryan
said... I think you'll see him like you did last time.
Yeah, Ryan said that they're going to live and die with Mark Sanchez.
I think you have to. I mean, you need to get someone better than Sanchez, but Tebow is not that guy. Mm. And you can't do it. I mean, you might be able to trick people like Denver did for a couple of games last year and... You know,
I'll take a couple wins if I'm the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think that does any difference to you. I don't really think that does anything for you. You're not a playoff team.
What if you go to both of them and say, look, Mark, you're not losing. For the next couple games, we're going to start Tebow. No matter what happens, even if he wins, you're going to come back after
There's
the
There's no way you can do
That's
that.
That's idiotic.
Tebow's going to go on a 2 or 3 game winning streak, and then you're going to bench him?
Well, just to give Sanchez a little break, you know?
This break is a breakup.
Right.
No matter what happens.
They need to find a quarterback. I mean, that's been the case, you know.
Yeah, because if you start Tebow, all you're doing is becoming John Elway late in the year, where, okay, maybe you went on a little run and New York is excited. You don't have your quarterback to win with. You don't. You've done nothing.
But that's my point. Like,
and there's probably not going to be a Peyton Manning available
this offseason.
So going
8-8 instead of 6-10, to me, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good.
Right.
Boston Dave writes in, does the decline in secondary play have anything to do with the emphasis on the rules that Bill Polian harped on a few years back? It seems our secondary play has not been the same since our DBs are not allowed to grab clutch and impede the way they used to. Just a thought.
Break the rules.
I'm sure it has more to do with talent. So,
well, yeah, both. I think you could argue that Belichick taught secondary play one way for decades and maybe isn't adjusting well. But the bottom line is, I think if they had Ty Law and Asante Samuel or some of those guys, they would be much better.
Yeah, they used to operate under the old cliche of that they can't call them all.
Right.
Just get physical and they can't. Well, now they generally call them all.
Dave, earlier in the show, Andy asked who would your defensive star be. David Monterey says, I think we have to give our defensive secondary the nod here. Dennard led the team in tackles, and McCurdy had a pick and a forced fumble. They showed up more than the linebackers in this game. Now, that's not to say the secondary played better than normal, but in comparison to each other, the secondary played better than the backers in this game. The linebackers didn't stop the run, got burned in the passing game, and got almost zero pressure on Fitzy. And P.S., cut me some slack on my last email's use of Bolivian. I'm sending in emails between work emails, not really a multitasker.
Well, what about the work emails you're sending while listening to us?
Right.
You might want to worry what those say.
Brooklyn Matt says, Paul, your Belichick all things to all people riff had me in hysterics. Your long string of Bill's savior of humanity accomplishments in response to Fred's blindness to Bill's limitations was hilarious. You're having a good show. And Andy, why does the Dartmouth band get all those civic perks? Because it's the rule. I don't know what that means.
Why does who get perks?
The Dartmouth band.
Oh. No, I think they do. Fred's right. They have a very active.
Oh, it's all boosters.
Yeah.
Yeah. My niece is in the DY band, and so I know that the row was asking for tickets. And
they're good. I mean, they deserve it. They've won, like, national titles, and they it's not like they suck. And
that bothered you? I will publicly.
I don't care.
I thought you made a big deal.
My son goes to the King Philip School, and they have, like, one of the best bands that perennially, annually, whatever you want to call it, they have one of the best bands in New England. Yet, they do not play during the football games except Thanksgiving. I think that is a travesty.
Why?
They're a show band. They're too good for it.
I couldn't agree more with Fred on this.
It's so ridiculous. I am so mad at that band.
What does that even mean?
Like
they have bigger and better things.
They're not there
because of the football team. Most people think of bands as they're there for the sport. They think of themselves as a total separate entity. They don't need a sport to showcase their abilities.
Well, I think the Dartmouth band sort of feels the same way, but
they still play. Sure, yeah. That's fine.
But they think they're the biggest show in town. There's no doubt about that.
This KP team.
That's fine.
But they still do. They're traditional.
That they're only there because the sports.
Right.
Are there.
This KP band, which is one of the best in New England every year, best in the country every year, does not play at halftime at the football games.
I think that's silly.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And yet they're always asking for help and all that. Screw them. Show some school pride.
And the other thing I have a problem with, I live about a mile from the high school. Everybody complains sometimes about, you know, athletes and, you know, their focus. The band practices from like 6 o'clock to like 9:30 at night.
Incredible.
Literally, like, because I can hear it. I'll open the window. Yep. I'll be like, it's 9 something and they're still practicing. Like, these kids, you know,
they
that shouldn't be a problem.
They are devoted.
But, I mean, I never hear people criticizing that. Like, you know, shouldn't they be focusing on their studies, not their pom-poms or their band crap?
Right.
I'm guessing that's a GPA battle that you don't want to fight, though.
Oh, because they're all dorks and geeks.
They probably get good grades anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You could sit there and say, well, how come they don't have to study? Well, obviously they are.
They don't have to study.
Because their average GPA is probably 3.8.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Frank is virgins.
Frank is from Germany. Guten Tag, Frank.
Hey, guys. What's up? How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, Frank.
Muy bien, y tú?
Well, I want to pick up on the emailer who said something about we rushed only 3 guys in the last drive, Buffalo had. And I think he was right. And the weird thing is, I think it was like maybe the third play of this drive, we actually rushed 5 guys and got Fitzy to move out of the pocket and like blew the play up. We didn't get the sack, but we kind of harassed him. And I don't get why we don't keep doing this, especially if it's the last drive. Because after that, I think it was like 4 or 5 more plays and we only rushed 3 guys. I don't get it. It's like every week I sit there at home watching the game and I'm getting so angry because, we can't cover. It doesn't matter if it's 8 or 6 or 7. We can't cover. So at least let somebody rush. You know what I mean? Just
yeah. I think Bill doesn't like to be predictable. He likes to mix it up. So I don't know. I don't think he feels he has players good enough to do the same thing over and over again.
Okay. And another thing is, I know we are the zone defense, but I think we need to play man-to-man at least sometimes. Because I think the problem with zone defense is if you don't get pressure, eventually there are holes in the zone. And obviously in our zone coverage, the holes are pretty huge. So, I mean, the zone defense has an advantage if you're able to, like, pressure the quarterback and force him into making a quick decision. If he's got time, you can't play zone well enough to cover like for 5 or 6 seconds. That doesn't work.
Yeah, but if you can't cover it all, like you started this call saying, do you really want everybody manning up?
Right.
Well, I think at least if they play man-to-man, they got a better chance than playing zones. Because I think sometimes, especially the linebackers, I mean, I like Hightower, and I think Spikes has actually improved in pass coverage this year. But I think they just miss the guy. He just runs by them, and then they try to catch up, but they're not the quickest guys, and they just don't have a chance like to get into play. And I think if they play man-to-man from start, they know what they're doing, and they don't have to like sit in the zone for the split second, and this second costs them like 5 yards or something, so they can't catch up with the guy anymore.
But the problem with bad man-to-man coverage is it's a big play machine on all levels, you know, because everybody's running with a man. So therefore, when one guy catches it and he misses his tackle, he's gone because there's not as many people looking.
You can still play two safeties over the top and play man-to-man across the board and rush four guys. I mean,
they rush four guys more often than not. Can we just, you know, say that more often than not, they rush four guys. I'm not saying they never had a play that they rushed three guys. They may have had a play where they rushed three guys, but more often than not, they rush four. They don't blitz as much as I would like. I agree. Andy and I have sort of disagreed on that. Andy thinks that they don't really have the guys to blitz as often. I can't really argue with that because I agree that Mayo and Spikes and those guys, that's not their forte. I would like to see them be a little bit more aggressive, but more often than not, they rush four guys.
Yeah.
And if you want to play man-to-man every day, you're going to give up 50 every day because this team can't cover.
Yeah, but I mean, we got to change.
Yeah, but we got to do it differently so we give up 50 instead of 30. That's the answer. That's the answer.
I don't think so.
That's what's going to happen if you let these guys play man-to-man all the time.
Against us. What are we going to do in the playoffs? You know, it's the same.
Probably lose because your defense isn't good enough. That's what's going to happen.
We're getting back to the whole question of the whole 2000s.
Can you win a championship?
Can a scheme be better than its players? Or are players what make a scheme? Right now you're learning, I think. Bill's still scheming. He's still scheming.
Yeah,
and they suck.
That's the problem, probably.
Well, he might be doing what he realizes, like Paul said, if I don't do what I'm doing, it's going to be worse.
No, but what you're learning is the scheme cannot overcome a lack of talent.
Right.
Oh, well, absolutely.
And that's
and
why I say
you're getting a little bit more respect for the players that played in the scheme.
But a scheme, if the wrong scheme can make it even worse.
Right.
No, but
as Paul is saying, you can go from giving up 30 to giving up 50.
And
right.
I think
Bill
that would
says,
happen.
I can average 35 points a game and maybe win a lot of these.
And that's not
I can't
even
average
taken,
55.
And that's not even taken into consideration what the other team is going to start doing to you when they see you play man consistently.
Yeah, but I mean, we need to switch it up at least sometimes.
Yeah, switch it up.
Easy, but
this
I know.
It's like Rocky versus Drago. It's a communist war.
I think we got the potential. I think we got playmakers on the defense. And if you look back, they forced turnovers in a lot of the times in the last possession. So we got that kind of big playability, but I think we need to give them a chance. And I know that Mayo and Spikes maybe not the blitzing guy, but what about a corner blitz? I mean, has anybody heard of that?
Kyle Arrington. How's he been on those?
Yeah, well. Yeah, Kyle Aaron, but I think Devin McCourty has done.
I'd like
at
to
least,
see Dennard on a corner blitz.
Two or three times he blitzed.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm going to change this around on you a little bit.
Okay.
So we only rush three, and we drop extra guys. And I'm going to play along and say we made plays. So we have the ability to make plays at the end of the game. Well, what happened? How did the game end?
Well, the game
You dropped three, dropped eight, and he threw it to one of your eight.
Yeah, well.
Good thing, otherwise you would have lost. Maybe if you would rush five, there wouldn't have been anybody there. Maybe we would have lost.
But I mean, I can turn this thing around too. Because
I know you can, because it's not an easy fix. Anything you say can easily be changed around, because contrary to what you said, they don't have a lot of playmakers. They don't have a lot of ability on that side of the ball. And the ability that they do have is very young right now and inexperienced and learning its way. Hopefully, in a year or so, Hightower and Jones and these young guys, Wilson and Dennard, are big parts of your team. We've been saying it. We're changing the names. We started off with Butler and Wheatley and Will Height and Rasai Dowling and Cunningham. Now we're changing them to Jones and Hightower and Dennard and Wilson, and hopefully at some point it sticks. And then they'll have the ability to do some of these different things that we're talking about.
Right.
But right now, I don't think they have the ability to just say, oh, we got to just switch it up. Because I agree with what Andy just said. You can change things. I think what'd you call it, a big play machine, if you play a lot of man-to-man? I don't think they have the ability
Bad
to play a lot of man-to-man.
Yeah.
I don't think they have the flat-out ability to do that. Now, maybe Aqib Talib will. I haven't seen him play yet. We'll see.
Well, I sure hope so. The times I saw him playing for the Buccaneers, I thought he was like Santa Samuel, like ball hawk kind of corner, and I think that's something we need. Well, I mean, if you're going to get burned anyways, at least try to make a pick. That's what I say.
All right, Frank. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate
good, good stuff, Frank. Good, good stuff.
Good stuff, Frank.
I like sparring with you, Frank.
Nine.
Yeah. Oh, stop.
Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Ooh-yah!
I did. He was a good sparring partner. I like that.
Let's see. Dave writes in, I just want to make this very clear. I get to listen to your show live only three times a week. Your show on Patriots Radio has priority over work.
Well, I think we're only on three times a week.
That's the Bolivian guy.
Oh, okay.
So the rest of the time he's doing his work.
So he doesn't care about the bad emails that are going out business-wise.
How about the pink slip virus?
Johnny in L.A. writes in.
You know what? Every time I watch that commercial now with Paulie in L.A., I laugh even louder.
I know.
Because I know who he is. Yeah. And I'm just
He was sitting in our studio.
I forgot what I was going to say.
He gave us wine, right?
I feel honored.
He gave us wine, right? That's the wine guy?
Yeah. I feel honored. That
Should
he,
I now tell him I
here.
Didn't really care for it? It was horrific.
Maybe you've covered this already, says Johnny in L.A.
Went down
but
hard.
A quick snap on a first down with 3 minutes left. Inexcusably stupid. Had we lost, they'd be getting torched for that abysmal series of downs at the end there.
And Bill understands that.
And check out Patriots.com. Andy put an interesting post up on Take Tuesday today.
Maybe.
That's not up yet?
I don't know. I sent it to Chris. He never responded to anything. That's why I asked if he was here.
But Andy takes a look at that whole decision and what went into it. Bill had a long explanation of it yesterday.
Something just happened because immediately after Paul fought with the German, Bruno from Florida, Rod from Atlanta, Frank from North Dakota all wanted to talk like within 15 seconds.
You're the only one that looks at that as saying that I fought with a German.
You fought with a German?
Yeah,
is he not German, and did you not fight him? But no further questions.
Did you not make that out to be something that it wasn't?
Something has lit up the lines. Maybe they think it's the fantasy football champs and not us on the radio. But Bruno is in Florida. Hey, Bruno, what's up?
Hey, not much. How are you doing?
Good, hey, Bruno.
So why were you suddenly, did you feel like you needed to call?
Well, you know, it's just frustrating because, you know, Belichick's supposed to be the defensive guru, and now it's been year after year that we've just never gotten back to a good defense. It seems like why can't they take the model of the Giants where they have multiple pass rushers, not just one or two guys that can pass? Because you can have great coverage, but if you don't get to the quarterback, even Brian Fitzpatrick looks like an all-pro.
Giants can do that because they have those big, talented defensive end-type guys. It's personnel to me.
And the Patriots have taken that
it's
step.
It's not scheme. I mean, it's the guys they have picked to be on the defense.
Yeah, and I agree with Bruno because I do think that's the way you go about it. And I think that you look at the Giants, and when they're playing badly, this is what's happening is when they're not generating pressure on the passer. Because I think it's really hard, to use Fred's point that he always does, it's really hard nowadays to have a lockdown secondary. So the Giants don't have that. And the Giants look bad when Tuck and Umanura and those guys and JPP aren't getting there. And listen, sometimes that's going to happen. You're going to have ebbs and flows during the course of a season. The Patriots do really only have, one or two, sometimes three if you count Cunningham now, of guys that are consistently able to get after the passer. And I don't really think Cunningham is a consistently able to get after the passer guy.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
Cunningham.
And don't you think maybe we've seen a shift? I mean, they drafted three guys in the first three rounds this year in Beckett, Hightower, and Jones, who pass rushing is at least a good portion
of their
ability.
I just would like to
see
them use Hightower in that way a little bit.
Well, I think once they get him set, well, he hasn't played. He had that injury, and he was limited. And, you know, I thought he did a little bit of that pre-injury, and I thought he did a little bit last week in 3 weeks ago in London. But, you know, the Giants have the benefit of that personnel. They have that and they invested in it. You have first-round picks there. Maybe Bill is learning that and going in that direction, and maybe you'll see another pass rusher this year and that'll add up.
And that'll be Bruno's thing because, like, JPP to me is a perfect example of that. That's a first-round pick that a lot of people might have said, why are we taking him?
Right.
You know, we got Umanura, we got Tuck, you know, we got Kiwanuka. I mean, what do we need another one of these guys for? And come to think of it, turns out he might be the best one of them all. And, you know, the other ones are getting a little bit older and a little bit, you know, wear and tear. And, you know, he's the linchpin. He's the guy that you build it around.
The other problem is, let's not pretend, even though they beat you twice in the Super Bowl, that the Giants are exactly the model franchise of dominance and consistency. And, I mean, they're the exact opposite.
No way.
They lay more eggs during the year than almost any, you know, good team.
Right.
Rod in Atlanta's on the line. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hot Rod from Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. All right. This is why I called. Well, first of all, Paul can be very condescending. Have you guys noticed that?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my God.
I've worked with him for a decade.
What, did you just meet me?
He's got his master's in condescension.
I have to work with him and
Rod,
Eric.
Rod, are you a new listener?
No, I'm not.
No, I don't mean that.
More than ever.
You are absolutely correct, and I really don't mean it that way. And a lot of times, immediately after it comes out, I realize.
We call him snarky.
It came out maybe sometimes a different way than I mean it to, but you're absolutely right. I need to be better at it.
And that's the difference between Paul and Eric. Eric never knows when he's being condescending.
Oh, I do.
Paul
I do.
Acknowledges it.
I don't mean it to sound the way it sounds sometimes, and there's definitely a tonality issue with me.
Yeah,
but I apologize for that.
The guy's not even like American from the accent.
Oh, well, that's
he
but that's
doesn't even know football, and you're like berating him.
Actually, he does.
Well,
know football
I think he knew football.
Well.
Fine.
He did a pretty good job.
Yeah. I actually thought that was a good football discussion.
I liked his yeah, but he just kept every answer was yeah, but.
Yeah, I thought he more than held his own. But I know what you're talking about with my condescension.
Well, my point real quick is that I know that we. A couple of years ago, you know, 2008, and we talked about how Bill was simplifying the defense. And I'm not sure that he's had the horses enough to, you know, make it complicated again.
Well, I agree. He doesn't have the horses, but that's
– whose fault is that?
That's Bill's fault at the end of the day.
You know, ball.
He was busy curing
cancer. He could be the president, but he can't be the best GM in football.
Well, he doesn't think the president screws anything up either. That's his guy, too. He's an apologist for them all.
But I hear people like John Rook talking about...
How about being for something
national
in your life?
Talking about how Andrew Luck, he's a rookie quarterback, and he's going to come in here, and Bill is going to confuse the crap out of him. He couldn't do it even if he wanted to because he doesn't... I think the defense is very simple right now.
Yeah, you have to be... It's interesting, and thanks for the call, Rod. Whether it's Tom Brady on offense or Bill Belichick on defense, they demand smart football players in order to do what they want to do. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
And don't you think this also plays into, because the fans are frustrated with, it's been 5 years, you can't build a defense. But that plays into why he's now overrated in that little player poll. You know, because people say, well, see, it was the players that did it. And, well, I thought he was a defensive genius. How come his defensive genius has blown for 5 years and he's needed Tom Brady to carry his ass?
Wait for it.
What?
What are you going to say? I'm going to guarantee that among the next five words, the words Super Bowl are going to come out.
Well, I agree with that. He's been so bad that his regular season record over the last 2 years is 19-6. I mean... There's a lot of places would love to be that bad and have that bad a personnel.
Plus, I think a lot of players like take shots at Belichick.
Now, the counter argument is
I think it's totally about the
it's
players.
It's 19-6 because Tom Brady's your quarterback.
Right. And the players
Wes Welker's your receiver.
And the players want to be quick to point that out.
The last thing you said when I was mocking you about Obama is true.
You're never for anything?
Well, I would love to have gone into the election passionately believing that either man was the man for the job and the man for me and the man for my country. Right. I did not. And I am, on some level, jealous of those people that, whether it's true or not, actually believe that either of those guys was the right
That's
man.
That's fair. That's fair.
And I don't. And I wish I had one that I did.
Yeah. The problem is you've never had anyone or anything that you've been positive about.
Bo, I believed in him.
Yeah, okay. It's funny. I don't want to be. I don't look at those people.
It's the same thing I feel like religion. I have a lot of respect for people that have great faith. I don't do it. I can't do it. It's not in me. I don't know why.
No, that's fair.
You know, I joke that the guy came home in the Immaculate Conception. Your wife's cheating on you. I mean, what you got? That's how I look at something. I'm a cynic.
One day, he's just going to spontaneously combust.
Oh, no, but don't you wish you had that? These people that, and I mean, they're not something I want to support, but these terrorists,
I don't wish I had.
They're willing to die for what they believe in. I don't feel that way about anything other than my family.
See, I don't wish I felt like that politically.
What about breasts?
I look at both sides.
I'm not going to die for breasts.
You would?
Oh, okay. Sure you would.
You would smother yourself in Brooklyn Decker's cleavage.
Cleavage.
Cleavage. It is a cleavage.
Frank
is the big one.
Frank's on the line. He's in North Dakota. Hey, Frank.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. How are you guys?
Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Chilly up there?
I'll try not to be too condescending.
Is it like minus 67 where you live yet?
Yeah, we're cold. It winters here, man, in a big way.
I love looking up there when they show the national map of like temperatures, and it's like Bismarck minus 57 or something ridiculous.
Okay, I have a friend in South Dakota.
Hey, you guys aren't kidding either.
No, it's laughable, and I wonder, how do you do it? Just why do you live there?
Well, we tough it out. I came out here when I was a boy. I was born in Maine, so I've been a New Englander since birth, but I remember the Patriots in the 70s when they couldn't win a big game. I remember them in the 80s when they choked when it came down to big games. This has been a blessing to be a part of a franchise the last 12 years. I hope people know how blessed we are to have a team that can win big games and stay in the game.
Yeah, they don't.
No, you know, we're spoiled. I mean, good grief. We could have won the last two Super Bowls on a coin toss. I mean, we've been in so many big games and been in part of so much. We're the model franchise in the NFL, and I think sometimes we're quick to abandon ship. My take is we got the youngest defense in the NFL roster-wise, don't we? The starting 11?
I don't believe so. I think it's like third.
It's
but
young.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's young.
I think Seattle is also in the mix, and that's the one concern. We're really young and suck. They're really young and good.
Well, I can't help but think Belichick's got usually ramps up that defense November, December. They're going to be a little better than they are right now. That's my hope. And why didn't we go after Asante Samuel when he went on the block? I mean, he would have been a good backup or a good starter.
Yes, he would have. I think that ship had sailed.
Starter.
I just think that they weren't going to revisit that. You know, I don't think it's the stuff they like to point to. I mean, he doesn't tackle and all this crap.
No, he's a me guy.
He gives up plays. I like a me guy who thinks it's me good to be running down the sideline with a pick for a touchdown.
Instead, we traded for the ultimate team.
He was a great player.
Yes, I would love to see him on this team.
I would too. I would have taken him back.
There's a guy that gives up plays and makes them.
Right. Even at this advanced age, I would have taken him back.
Yeah. Well, I think we're quick to maybe lose sight of the whole package. I'm sure this doesn't eat up anybody more than Bill. I mean, he's got to be just tearing his hair out over this situation. I know nobody wants to change this faster than he does, and there's a lot on his plate. I understand that.
Yeah, I agree. I thought visually on the sideline you saw that as much as ever.
Yeah.
Just that whole, just for us, it's eating him alive inside.
No,
he can't,
and he's
helpless. He feels like he can't do anything about it.
And I think he commiserates with Patricia, and I think that was reflected in Patricia's response after they had won.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, Frank.
See you, Frank.
Yeah.
Frank in North Dakota.
Put on your mittens. Your long johns. Make sure you got the flap open when you got to go.
Tommy in Toronto wants to know, does Fred mispronounce names and words on purpose?
Is this the one guy who is really still mad about McCurdy?
It's actually Tony in Toronto.
No, but we've gotten emails every show from somebody
who's mad.
Like, what is the deal with McCurdy? It's not what it's... Is this an inside joke? It's not funny. It's
oh, well. Joel writes in. He's in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Well, another skin of the teeth win. I heard Gresham Zoe trying to make excuses about the game because the Bills are built from the ground up to beat the Patriots. No, our secondary is built from the ground up to lose games. If the Bills had a decent quarterback, we would have lost that game. With a little over 2 minutes to go, I turned to my wife and told her that the only way the Bills don't drive down the field and score is if they screw up. And lo and behold, Fitzmoron makes a terrible decision. Unless Tlaib is a god, good quarterbacks will still eat this secondary alive. And what was that on that last drive? We had the ball on the 2-yard line, and three plays later, we're kicking a field goal. The east-west junk, he says another word, doesn't work. Ridley is a north-south runner, yet McDaniels keeps trying to get outside. And what happened to setting the edge? Spiller and Jackson were getting outside quite a bit. We gave up almost 500 yards to a bad team. We are going to be in a shootout every game, and if we don't come up with the last score, we're going to lose. What happens when we run into the Ravens in the playoffs? No more Billy Cundiff to rely on. We have to hold our respective breaths and hope that Tlaib lives up to his hype. Wow.
He can't live up to his hype.
I kind of agree with that last sentence.
I saw a tweet that said, we better hope Tlaib is one part Dion, the other part Butkus. Because, I mean, that's the hype. People think that that's going to make a huge difference. And I'd like to believe it could, but you know me, I have no faith in anything. President's religion.
I just feel like if it doesn't make a huge difference, then I think you're going to have a similar fate.
But all that said, you're in the mix. There is
no question
you're in the mix.
Yeah,
they
we're
all
back
suck.
To our buddy from North Dakota.
Are
yeah.
you going to say you can't beat Atlanta?
No.
You're going to say you can't beat Houston? You're going to say you can't beat Chicago? You're going to say you can't
beat
anybody?
I'm not
going to
say you can't beat any of them. I just don't
they're
think
they're all flawed.
I don't think you can beat three in a row.
That's what we said last year. And where were they, Fred?
And they didn't.
The Super Bowl. Yeah, they were within a minute, though.
But they beat one.
To me, if you go to the Super Bowl, it's a successful year.
But wait
a minute. You don't say I failed miserably this year.
But they beat one to get there. They got Denver in the first one. And
then
they beat Baltimore. That was one, and then they lost.
You don't think you could get a bad team
in the
postseason again?
Then you change. I said I don't think they can win three in a row like that.
So who are the teams in the AFC you don't think they can beat consecutively? The group of teams.
Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Denver, Houston. I don't think they can beat three of those four, two of those four.
Pittsburgh may not be in it without Roethlisberger.
But I mean, I'm just talking
and
about right
Denver,
now.
Denver, I don't include right. in that group.
I think those. Those
I don't think they can beat Baltimore and Houston.
If they have to play two out of those four, I don't think they will get to
of
the Super Bowl.
Of course they can.
And if they have to beat, if they do win those two, I don't think they will win a third in the Super Bowl.
But I would
against
just
Green
so you
Bay,
know,
Giants.
Just so you know, I'd argue the exact same thing about every team you just mentioned. I would argue
I
that
you,
I don't
I
think Baltimore can beat Houston, New England, and Green Bay in consecutive games. I don't think Green Bay can beat New York, right. San Francisco, and New England in
yeah,
three
I
consecutive
think,
games.
I think some of those teams would have a better chance.
I think
of
they
doing
all
that.
Below.
We'll finish up with Bad Kevin's email. He says, "Hey, Fred, Paul, and the D-bag. Why must we all bitch
D-bag.
And complain after we win a game? We are so spoiled that winning an NFL game is not good enough. Yes, we are giving up big leads in the fourth, but how much of that is really the defense, and how much of that is offense not converting third downs? Paul, what is our third down conversion percentage in the fourth quarter? If anyone can find it, you can.
It's on the top of his head, right there. Oh, it's empty up there.
As I'm listening, I'm getting pissed. Get off, Bill. He kicks ass. We win more games than any other team. We were just in the Super Bowl. Quit your bitching. Looking ahead, I do not share your enthusiasm for the Colts game. I think Luck may break his yards in a game record Sunday."
This was the greatest email ever. That was the most bipolar email
we've
ever gotten.
"Got something going in Indy. Bring on the Brady-Luck rivalry. I think this will be close like all the others. Fred, we love you. Paul, you're a genius. And D-bag sucks."
Like your mama.
That was seriously. You guys don't appreciate what we have. Right. It's, you know, you guys are making it all on the defense, but the offense can't get a first down.
Right.
And you guys don't appreciate Bill, get off of him.
But we're
going to be in trouble against the Colts.
All right, with that, we'll leave it to. It's a replay. John Rook has kidney stones, so he's in the
really?
Hospital. Yeah, he's in the hospital.
He makes light of it, like it's
I'm
just
not
like
making
little
light
flippant.
Of it. I'm saying,
doesn't that
why,
hurt? Isn't that
yeah,
bad?
That's oh, why he's in the hospital.
Does that mean he has to? He
I don't
has
know.
To go out.
I don't know what they're doing, but he's,
yes,
he couldn't come in.
They do have to.
Isn't that like a golf ball coming out a hose?
All right.
Yes.
We'll replay this show, and then at 4 o'clock, football fantasy champs. Big week for your football fantasy league, I'm sure. I don't know.
This is the worst ending ever.
It's getting
he
to
mocked
the end.
A medical issue and has nothing.
Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow. I didn't really.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.